Hello, you're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our state capital. I am in Springfield. It's been, it's funny. I heard Justin Kaufman say that it's been a long day. I didn't really think about it until, he said that, because I have been up and since, I've been up since 7 a.m. I grabbed a breakfast with a couple of representatives, from our capital, and, actually had a great breakfast at this place called Cook's Spice Rack. It's, the best pancakes and, sausage and eggs I've ever had. They make their own sauce. Anyway, that's not, I know people aren't that interested in, my breakfast from the day I got to sit in the legislature, in the House of Representatives, and hear the governor present his State of the State address. Now, Rob Martier, are you, yes. Do you happen to be at your desk? Hello, sir.
How are you?
Did you listen to the entire speech?
I didn't listen to the whole thing.
Hold on a second. I have it in front of me. Would you like me to read it word for word? Okay, hold on a second. No, sorry.
Go ahead.
How much of it did you listen to?
Well, I know that the state's in trouble.
Well, you didn't need the governor to address that.
I mean, does that about sum it up?
It's something like that. It's about 33 minutes. So okay. I think we'll have to do it over a couple segments if I read it word for word. The nice thing is, because he does drop his G's, that shortens it just a little bit. I do really have the transcript. This is my first time ever sitting in the press box during a State of the State address. And I want to thank the Speaker of the House, Press Secretary. That's the House Representative's press. The press secretary told me yesterday that most likely I would not be able to be present. I would probably have to watch the State of the State address from a closed circuit monitor downstairs in one of the rooms. They had two rooms set up downstairs for the public. There were a lot of people in the rotunda throughout the building with a lot of different groups, senior groups, individuals from the special needs community, parents and caregivers, and a lot of people there. And you could actually hear them while we were in the House of Representatives. You could hear them through the walls, chanting and demanding better. And it was interesting because the governor's State of the State address primarily addressed what we need to do for business to save money. And I was a little bit surprised that there wasn't more about our commitment to help our most vulnerable, considering that's one of the things that we've been trying to draw attention to. It's more about saving money. I mean, even when he talked about the DCFS and the programs that are available, I was really surprised. And I talked to people on both sides of the aisle, and they were equally surprised. I don't know if you heard this part. I did tweet it out, Rob. He said that the state has spent most of its resources on a broken patchwork of reactive, expensive, and ineffective interventions. And the biggest problem I have with that sentence is that the word interventions immediately draws attention to the exact practice of early intervention, which is to come in and try to do the best we can for children who are delayed. And I think he was addressing all the other services, but to call them ineffective, they are expensive, because it is expensive and costly to help somebody who can't walk, who can't talk, who can't feed themselves, who have a lot. And that's just the extreme areas, when things that are a little more hard to diagnose, to treat, like PTSD with our veterans. It fell so hard on my ears and on my heart to hear that those are reactive and ineffective. Of course it's reactive.
Yeah. Well, Patty, this is exactly what you and I spoke about last night. And, I call it trench warfare. You can say that they all have blinders on. They're so, they're so into their cause. So, unfortunately, the those who are the most needy and the most vulnerable are now sitting on the sideline watching this play out. And now the Democrats do say, well, look, we need to take care of these folks. But, by and large, that's not what they start their argument off with. Generally, it's, we've got to protect the unions, and we've got to protect the pensions, and we've got to do this and we've got to do that. Governor Rauner, same thing. He's so narrowly focused on what he wants to do, which, good or bad, but again, you can't see the forest through the trees when you approach it from that angle.
Right.
So not giving these types of things more attention really did everybody a disservice today, I thought.
Yeah, it was, and it was a lot of, you know, what we need to be focused on, a lot about education, vocational training, and, you know, talking about how Illinois is a wonderful place. Well, we know that, and I know that it has to be part of a speech to, you know, to reiterate how committed the governor is to the people of Illinois. But at the same time, you know, it's primarily, I mean, it's taxpayer, how we want to, you know, and by the way, in the one of the things he said is that we have lost more than 300,000 manufacturing jobs. I think that's countrywide as far as how, you know, how many jobs have been shipped overseas. And a lot of that is because big corporations find it too expensive to do it here. And I'm sure that then they would go back and say it's because of unions. Well, there has to be some middle ground as to how we keep these jobs here. You know, there's no incentive for workers, and there doesn't seem to be incentives for big companies. Yeah, this was a tough one. I mean, and by the way, I do want to, for those of you who listen to Rokan's show and you hear me talk about Governor Rauner dropping his G's, I tweeted out today, Rob, but I tweeted out a bunch of words that he used throughout the speech. And I started circling them, but then it was just all of them. It was, let's see, we can start with training, losing, making, living, kicking, losing. And somebody tweeted out, enough, I'm tired of the criticism. He is who he is.
I call it, Patty, I call it subconscious pandering.
It
because
seems that way.
I have a feeling, and he would probably never admit this, but I have a feeling that he thinks as though he might be a notch above most of us.
Right.
And
Yeah.
when he does that, he's basically saying to all of us, which, by the way, you're college educated, I have a college education, we're all fairly smart people, just speak normally. It's okay. We will
Right.
understand you.
Yes. Yeah. I don't, I just, I don't know. I guess, by the way, people who are bothered by the fact that we draw attention to it, everybody in the press box on the side that I was sitting in,
Right.
I mean, everyone just started, like, just making fun of it, like, kind of quietly and tithering and making bets as to the next one.
And they all do
So
it. Hillary Clinton's done it. Joe Biden's done it. I mean, you know, it's just, it runs the gamut. And I don't know why they feel as though they need to do that.
Yeah, it's very strange. Well, we're going to have a former, well, we still call him Senator Dan Katowski. You always call someone who has held office by their highest previous office. He has resigned, and I do want to know what his thoughts were, what it's been like, you know, the last nine times that he had heard a State of the State address, and what happens afterwards. You know, there's always this response. Does it change the tone? Does it ever accomplish anything? And I'm curious to find out more about that. And then coming up after the news at 11:30, we will have Representative John Cabello on, who has been on our show before, and I believe is the one Republican who stays up past 10 o'clock at night. I don't know why, but
Easy.
I know, we're pleased and honored to have. No, I actually talked to several representatives on both sides of the aisle who were eager to be on our show, and I was really thrilled to hear that. They approached me in the press box, said they had heard good things about our show. They're big fans of WGN, and they all wanted to know how to get on the show. So that we'll have more guests throughout the next couple weeks to get more perspective from every angle. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you for checking in with us pretty late. I'm a little amped because I'm in Springfield and I got to sit in the press box during the State of the State address. Rob, are you still hanging around? And Esmeralda,
I'm right
is
here.
there?
Maria.
Cool. Yup. You know me. I'm a little bit. I can get a little bit. I can cause chaos. I think. Ooh, hello.
See? Right there.
Yeah, look at that. I just kind of mess things up. I cause chaos and confusion everywhere I go. I had met with the press secretary yesterday, and like I told you, he said that the press boxes would be full. And today he said, but if you come early, we'll see what we can do. Maybe there'll be some standing room. And what I learned is that if you are on the floor of the House of Representatives and they're about to begin the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, no one is allowed to leave the floor. Only I had left all my things on the other side of the podium, including both of my phones. And I was told not to move, that I had to stand for the prayer, which is, you know, I'll stand for the prayer, but I'll tell you what I was praying the entire 2 minutes. Please don't let my phones ring. Please don't let my phones ring.
Do you just have a regular ring, or is it a
No.
song?
Well, it depends on who's calling, right? So, like, for my husband, it's like, kiss me, I'm Irish. For my friend Charles, it's bad medicine. I'm just sitting there. I was like, the chances of that happening are like 100% that it would go off during the prayer or the Pledge of Allegiance. But fortunately, the prayer helped, I guess. State Senator Dan Katowski joins us on the line. How are you doing, Senator?
I'm doing well, Patty. How are you?
I'm good. I got to sit in the press box today. I miss you in Springfield. I know that you are doing something very important and a job that you're enjoying, but I've talked to many people who miss you very much down here.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear. I miss a lot of my colleagues down there, a lot of really good people who care about the future of our state. So, hopefully they'll be able to get the situation that we have down there resolved as quickly as possible.
Well, you served for 9 years. So did you see the 9 State of the State addresses? Were you present for? I know there are things that might draw you away from the Capitol during those days, but had you seen all of them?
Well, of course. Yeah, I never missed one.
So never missed one. You go ahead.
No,
it's an interesting day. I was watching, and I know, so it's held in the House of Representatives, and then the senators are then ceremoniously invited in. The doors are closed, and then I guess they have to put a motion on the floor to allow you in. Is that correct?
Yes, it goes back to, it's back where they had to knock historically to get permission to get into Parliament. I mean, it's a very cool history there, and permission is granted for the governor to come in and give a state of the state. I have to say, those experiences were some of the ones that I really enjoyed the most because it should call and demand that, especially in that environment, that the greater angels of everyone comes out there, that we are expected to do our best on behalf of taxpayers and the people we serve. So when in that moment, that's why at times, like I was, especially in Washington, when people would yell out when the president was speaking, that's so shocking to me that that would ever occur, because even if I don't agree at all with what the person is saying, right, I respect them and I respect the role. And I respect the fact that they've been elected by the people to serve. And this is their opportunity to present what they, what this person, like the governor right now, Governor Rauter, believes is the state of the state. And you have an opportunity, he has an opportunity to present that. And then we, as elected officials, have an opportunity to respond right afterwards.
Right.
You know,
right.
The press is there. And it's, but, I think it speaks to the best representation in many respects of our government. And I've been through 9 of them. Each one I found to be very special in their own right.
Yeah, it was. I felt the same way too. I mean, because I have a different role. I'm a broadcaster and not a journalist. You and I have talked about this in my position sitting in the press box. And, there is something to be said for sharing the story in a different way than perhaps the Tribune, the Sun-Times, any of the other radio stations that might, it's funny. I'm not sure. What's the radio station that does Dave? I'm not sure what his name is, but he seems to be a permanent fixture in the press box there. He was broadcasting for the Illinois. Is it the, I'm trying to look at their microphone. It's like 1240 or something like that. And, they have a very cynical take on the way they report it. I have a little bit of a personal interest because I really do want to hold the Illinois, government accountable for how we treat our most vulnerable. And, and everybody when it comes to education to, for our progress, for our prosperity. But I tweeted out a couple of snarky things, and I know that that's a little bit different, only because there was a moment, Senator, that just fell on my ear so hard. I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear before you came on tonight, but he addressed the expenses that DCFS have, and that we have spent tens of billions of dollars on a broken patchwork of reactive, expensive, and ineffective interventions. And to me, that just stood out so starkly. It wasn't about how we need to commit to helping our most vulnerable, how we need to help those who cannot help themselves. It was about how we have to We have to, you know, focus on data-driven decisions, being able to keep more. It was more about outcomes, you know, sort of spreadsheet outcomes, and paying for value. And I was really surprised by that tone.
Here's what's interesting about that statement, or I think it doesn't reflect the reality, because the one area in government over the past couple of decades that has had performance-based contracting is services for children who are wards of the state. There are very specific goals and measurements for length of stay in a residential treatment center, for therapeutic interventions, for if you're in foster care, for sibling visits. We have specific goals that we have to meet for our children in foster care in terms of reunification.
Right.
If you have reunified with family, or to legal guardianship, or getting adoption. And we had about 240 kids that we had in foster care last year, and 80 of them were reunified and adopted or placed or having permanent legal guardianship. So there's this goal that's out there. It's called permanency. But the point here is, what's surprising about that statement is, when you look throughout government, no other area of government has been so immersed in focusing on performance as it relates to funding than the Department of Children and Family Services. In fact, there's something called the Child Welfare Advisory Council, which is a group of providers which sit on this council, which help to inform and craft outcomes related to serving kids. And so I don't know what the governor is getting at, but it's one of the things that most people would not be aware of that. I mean, there used to be 55,000 children in care and foster care. 55,000, now it's down to about 15,000.
Right.
And it's so much more difficult to get into foster care. It's so important. The area that's focused on is making sure that children are moved out of foster care into permanent placement, right? And argue that is too much of a focus on that. But the fact is, providers have come together in conjunction with the government in a partnership with the public sector to achieve that. And so
right.
I don't know what the governor's focused, but he may be talking about the area of the budget that was reduced significantly last year, funding for 18 to 21 year olds, this redetermination of them, and eliminating scholarships for them, eliminating transitional living for them, and cutting all those services for 2,400 young people ages 18 to 21.
Right.
And that was talked about last year in the budget. And I don't know what's presented. Maybe this is a precursor to that, but there was a tremendous amount of pushback on that front last year. But, when I hear that's my response when I hear that.
Yeah, I want to thank you for the work that you're doing. I know that you wanted to leave the Senate in order to help families in a more impactful way, directly be able to make the connection between government and service. And I have to run. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I know we usually get to spend more time hanging out. Perhaps next week we can catch up on what you've been up to.
Yes, please.
Sound good?
And take care of that cold you have.
Yeah. It's just been a long day, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
And
before
we let you go, your GoFundMe for the flooring for the girls' home, where can we find that?
GoFundMe, it's on Facebook, but you can go on GoFundMe and you look up ChildServ, CHILD, SERV. There's no E at the end because our work is not done. We've raised $765 to date towards $5,500 to get a new floor for our girls' home for they're adolescent girls, ages 13 to 18, who've dealt with a lot of trauma, and we're trying to make sure that they can heal and lead better lives.
Well, thank you so much, Senator. We will talk to you next week. You get some rest, too. I know we're both very busy. Everyone's busy. Everyone gets some rest. Just leave the radio on, that's all. Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield, Illinois. I am in the Capitol. I was present for today's State of the State address presented by Governor Rauner. And joining me on the line right now is Representative John Cabello, who represents the 68th District. Hello, Representative. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm still – what time did you get up? What time does a representative like you get up in the morning before the State of the State address?
Oh, I'll tell you, the excitement just got to me. I was up at 5:30 this morning.
What? Now, were you in town yesterday?
Didn't sleep.
Really?
It was a long day.
Yeah, it has been a very long day. And what were you anticipating? I'm guessing you guys kind of have, you have a lot of conversations about what you want to accomplish. Had you some idea of what the State of the State address was going to look like or sound like?
We had heard, and I was hoping that the governor would go unconventional, and that didn't happen. But I think it was a normal State of the State. I think I've heard two governors now give the State of the State, and they both kind of sounded the same, really.
That's what I was wondering. When you say unconventional, breaking loose a little bit from da-da-da-da, this and this, we're great at this, we need to be better at that. What would you say would have been something unconventional? Do you have an example?
Yes. If I was in the governor's shoes today, what I would have done is I would have came into the chamber, I would have said, folks, we all know the state that this state is in, since all of the decision makers are here, all the state senators, all the state reps, the two majority leaders and the two minority leaders, we don't need to talk about the state of the state. Let's get a budget deal done right here, right now. Lock the chamber doors. And we're not leaving it. We got it done.
I love that. I think that would be very dramatic, and that is unconventional. And what did you think the chances of that? Like between 0% and 5% chance of that happening. Where were you on the thinking of that? You're wagering.
Well, I had posted it on Facebook maybe an hour before the State of the State, so I didn't think that would happen at all. I guess maybe it was just wishful thinking and wanting to get a budget deal done.
I agree. And I do have the entire speech in front of me, and I, was going through, he did do, a little bit of this, a little bit. I hope no one heard me laugh that one of the accomplishments was that we began the process to sell the Thompson Center. I don't know how high you would list that on accomplishments considering, how much we have left to do ahead of us.
Right. Well, it's been very rough for everyone.
Yes.
On both sides of the aisle. It's never an easy thing. Everybody's still trying to figure each other out.
Yes,
it's just,
that's true.
Our most vulnerable are still not being taken care of, and those are the first people that we should be taking care of.
Well, and they seem to be that this population, and I have a young son who has significant disabilities. So it is what brought me down to Springfield last year, is knowing the struggles that families like mine face. And I was talking to one of your colleagues, Representative Harris, David Harris, just to kind of explaining my story. That, when a family loses hope, there is a danger, a physical danger, an emotional danger. And I think that we have so many families, not just with children with disabilities, but we have senior citizens, there are veterans who have lost services just as recently as Friday. Catholic Charities have announced they might follow the same direction. It was strange to me to hear the words that the services we provide are reactive, inefficient, and ineffective. That sort of fell on me a little bit hard, and that they're expensive. Taking care of our most vulnerable isn't profit-making. There's no profit to be made. And are there ways to save money? I'm sure. But I thank you for pointing out that we should have a commitment. And I didn't hear that at all in today's address. Did you?
No. Again, I think everybody is a little tired, a little
yes.
Unsure of how we're going to move forward. You know, we don't need to be pointing the fingers at each other any longer. We don't need to be saying that it's Speaker Madigan's fault. We don't need to be saying that it's Governor Rauner's fault. We need to do our jobs. We need to sit down. We had the perfect opportunity today. Everybody was in, you know, I think there's a few excused absences. But we had the perfect opportunity to do something right, to do something different, and maybe hear what everyone has to say right there in the open, instead of having leaders sitting behind closed doors and coming up with their own solutions. Everybody was at the table today. We just didn't seize that opportunity.
And that's what a lot of people point to, is that, you know, whether President Cullerton and Governor Rauner have come to an agreement in some way on one of the reforms, but Michael Madigan, the Speaker of the House, doesn't sit down anymore with them. We talked to Representative Kifowit last night, and she was saying that there was some work done in November where there were agreements for, like, the 911 agencies and different, you know, areas of the state that needed to be addressed. But that was pretty much the last time that everyone kind of were able to agree. Would that be accurate? Since November?
I believe so. I would hope that there was more, but I'm not always privy to what's going on. You know, it's just, we have timelines in place to try to keep us on track. Somewhere we've gone off the track, and we need to find a way of getting back on it so that you know, we don't have that much to go on the budget because lots of it's taken care of through lawsuits and dissent decrees. So, you know, if we have all this done through lawsuits and dissent decrees, some people say it was up to 88% that was done without legislative action. Why do we need 118 state representatives making $70,000 a year?
Right, which mean what you're saying is that the money is already going out the door. Most of the services are being paid for, regardless of the budget being in place or not.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we're talking about not pointing the finger, because I think that, and I do that. You know, it's easy to say, because this is the first time this has happened, to say, you know, well, Governor Rauner has come up with this reform agenda and has tied that, you know, agreements, you know, with certain things like workman's comp and pension reform. You know, we can all point the finger, like you said, at each other, but at some point, something has to be done. I think a lot of people do want to know, why is it that, you know, having to come to an agreement on that agenda is so tied to the budget? Can you explain it to people who are still wondering about that?
I can maybe give them my view. Yes. I would never want to speak for the governor. I would never want to speak for anyone else.
Fair enough.
If there was no reforms right now, and mm-hmm. we didn't do any cuts, you know, I think we were on track of bringing in $32.5 billion in revenue, yet we're on track of spending close to $38 billion. Okay, so let's just say all we're going to do is raise taxes.
Right.
I think we would have to raise taxes almost to 7%. Just to take care of this fiscal year. Well, what about next year?
And to give people perspective, right, to give people a little idea, we're at 3.25 now. We had temporarily gone to 5%, but that was a temporary tax increase that went away last year, right?
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, 7%, I think a lot of people would, you know, sort of pause at that, and whether or not that's a temporary fix. And as you just mentioned, what will happen in the coming years, and especially as costs continue to rise, whether for services, for transportation, you know, for our state workers, there's a lot at stake here. And, it's kind of strange. What is the sense you're getting from your constituents in your area?
The folks that I'm honored enough to represent keep telling me, do not raise my taxes.
Okay.
So they're taxed enough. Winnebago County has the second highest property taxes in the nation. So they're saying, we can't be taxed any longer. Guess what? If you keep taxing me more, I'm going to be one of those people that need those services. So
right.
If we're going to keep taxing we're going to be adding more people to the roles of who need help because they now can't afford what they have. I mean, we already have senior citizens that are trying to make a decision. Do I pay my mortgage or do I pay for my medications? So we've got to find a balance. We've got to say, okay, look, maybe the governor will give, you know, all he needs is workman's comp reform, and we'll go with $3 billion in cuts. We'll go $3 billion in new revenue and call it the day. Can that happen? I don't know, because we don't have the people at the table, and we missed that opportunity today.
And you, right after the State of the State address, you adjourned. Is that correct? I think that you guys took the rest of the day off. I'm not saying you took the day off. You were given the rest of the day off.
Unless you were on higher education appropriations. Then that committee met at 3 p.m. I do not know what time they were done. But, yeah, I mean, it was we came in at 11:30, and you know what time we left.
I do.
Is that a full day's work? Absolutely not. Yeah. We could do much better. And when I say we, I mean everyone. I'm not saying, you know, pointing that fingers. You know, I'm not always right, and I make mistakes, and I understand that. I'm willing to listen, and I'm willing to compromise, but is everyone? I'm not sure that we're at that place yet.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, just a quick question, certainly this is nothing new coming from me, and I'm sure you've heard it before from a lot of people. But in terms of new revenue, basically that means more taxes. I don't think most reasonable people here in the state would be opposed to saying, you know, let's go ahead and bump it up to 5.5%, 6%, 6.5%. The problem is that the money in the state has been so mismanaged that when you start talking about tax increases, people immediately wonder, where is it going to go? Will it be spent properly? How would you be able to tell Joe taxpayer that you're going to do the right thing?
I'm not so sure that we could do that. Why are people so why are people not voting? Why are people not getting involved in politics anymore? It's because of the politicians. Nobody can trust what is said any longer. I mean, we need to build the trust back. This is supposed to be an honorable position, in my opinion, and honorable people don't lie. Honorable people tell the truth and say, look, maybe we need to put a sunset on it every year and say, look, here's how we're going to spend the money. If we don't spend it this way, you, in a year, have the opportunity of voting it back in or voting it back out.
Right.
This way it keeps us honest. This way it keeps our feet to the fire, and we can sit there and say, look, here we're trying to get the biggest bang for your buck, because guess what? You're funding all of this. It's your taxpayers' dollars. It's your hard-earned work. I mean, that's what's paying for this. And to see it blowing away in the wind is not what we should be doing with it.
Which again feeds that, you know, inaction. People just start giving up and get cynical. We're talking to Representative John Cabello from the 68th District. Do you mind hanging on for just a few more moments so we can talk to you about the plans moving forward?
I'll give you all the time in the world.
Oh, I appreciate that. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. Thanks for finding us Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield. I've come down here for the State of the State address presented by Governor Rauner. And on the line with us is Representative John Cabello, representing the 68th District. And you were, I don't want to call you teacher's pet, but you were in the speech today, Representative.
And then they used my real name. They didn't use any expletives.
Wow, I can't wait to hear that happen in the next few months. Tell us a little bit about reforms to our criminal justice system that you guys have planned.
Well, this is one great way of showing that we can work together. This is a bipartisan group, many different people involved from different community service groups to professionals that deal with psychological issues. It's a great group that came together that has had lots of discussion on, number one, where do we want to go with our criminal justice system?
Right.
There's many of us that believe that there could be lots of good reforms that actually help people instead of just waste money and or just use our prisons as a warehouse. Unfortunately, some people need to spend the rest of their lives in prison due to the types of crimes that they commit. But there's other folks that do deserve that second chance, and we need to find a way of making sure that once they come out of prison, that they can become a productive member of society. How do we do that? There's lots of different things that we need to do. We need to look at the criminal justice system in a different way. We need to look at it from an early childhood education standpoint to a addiction and recovery to a mental health. We've got to look at it in ways that we haven't looked at it before so that we can stop just wasting money and warehousing people until they're serve their time and come back out and reoffend.
And you are uniquely qualified to serve on this committee because you have served as a police officer for almost 20 years, right now on a leave of absence from the Rockford Police Department. So I'm assuming that you have had a lot of experience with offenders of all different, from all walks of life, all circumstances. And so your perspective is very important in this situation, I would imagine.
Well, again, you know, I'm not always right. I don't always have the answers to every single question. So that's why.
Well, that's disappointing, sir.
Well, I'm just trying to tell you how I think. I mean,
your honesty is going to start to be annoying. I'm just saying.
Well, again, you know, we need to start earning the trust back of the public. And the only way we're going to do that is by telling the truth. So we have, a good group of people. We have experts in different areas and different expertise that are helping us work through a lot of these issues. And guess what? We don't always agree, but we're having the conversations. We're listening to each other. We are not talking over, but we're listening. And at the end of the day, guess what? Sometimes we don't agree on all of the points, but the conversation that is going on is going to be very good, number one, for our taxpayers, and number two, for our society.
Well, and that, again, that was one of the points that Governor Rauner wanted to highlight, the transformation for, you know, this administration as far as our criminal justice system. The other area he talked about, and the one of the single most important things we do is educating our younger people. Tomorrow, you guys are meeting in the House to discuss the MAP grants. Is that what's on the docket?
I believe so, but we are not always privy as to what the speaker is going to call.
Ah, interesting. Yeah. Well, that's a hard thing, too, you know, in Chicago, and I'm not sure what the situation is in Rockford in your area when it comes to the schools and the struggles that we're having. You know, CPS has recently had to lay off a lot of people last week. You know, the mayor wanted to highlight that they, you know, most of them were administrative, but many of them were in the special education department, which has a negative impact when it comes to making sure kids get the right services. So I don't know how, you know, this is an okay layoff. Are you having a similar situation in Rockford?
Not as of yet. Our community college, Rock Valley College, has laid off, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood, 36 people. I believe most of them were also administrative. But we're having the challenges on the community college side right now, not necessarily the Rockford Public Schools.
Well, I appreciate your honesty in the conversation. And we want to continue this. I know producer Craig and I were talking off the air about having you back regularly so we can touch base. And so that people have an opportunity to hear from both sides of the aisle. You're one of the few Republicans, I believe, who stays up past 10 o'clock. I'm not saying for nothing. But
you might be right.
See, I tell everybody, I ask people, you know, Senator Connolly says he'll come on, and then he's like, oh, that's kind of late for me. I'm like, all right, see you later. So thank you so much. And how can people reach your office if they want to express their concerns?
They can reach us at 815-282-0083 and or my cell phone, 815-621-2196.
And to learn more about the representative, you can go to johncabello.org. That's John, CABELLO.org. And thank you so much. Get some rest. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Have a good night.
All right. Have a great night. You're listening Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our state capital. I'm in Springfield, and I've come down here for the governor's State of the State address. And hey, producer Craig Collins, how are you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, that's what I am. Hey, Patty.
Hi. You know what? I wonder if there were any listeners who were like, wow, Craig's awfully quiet tonight.
He has not said anything in that first
hour. Not even a peep. Yeah. Hey, Craig, you weren't here for the first hour, so let me give you a catch up. I'm gonna just so you feel like you've been here for the whole show.
Thank you,
ready?
Patty, that's nice.
All right, here we go. Okay, so I got up very early this morning. I went to have one of the best breakfasts of my life at a place called Cook's Spice Rack in Springfield. It's fantastic. Best pancakes, in-house made sausage. You would have loved it. Over easy eggs. Fantastic.
That sounds delicious.
It was very good. I went to the state capitol. Yesterday they had told me I would not be in the press box, but today they accommodated me and generously gave me a seat. Paige Aiden let me have his chair, so thank you, Aiden. And the governor dropped almost every single G in his speech. And I was praying that during the prayer for the House of Representatives and the Pledge of Allegiance, I silently prayed that my phone would not ring because I didn't have it near me. It was across. You're not allowed to move once they lock the doors. And I was afraid my phone would ring and I would never be invited back to the capital of Illinois. The governor gave his State of the State address. We've talked about that a little bit. Senator Katowski came on and had wished. Oh, there you go. So you're all caught up.
Yeah. I heard a lot of it on my way into the station late for the show, which is surreal. I've been working at WGN for about five-ish years, a little more than 5 years. This has never happened before. I can't believe that this happened.
I was worried because Adam Phillips, who is our engineer and has been running the board, and actually whenever I travel, generally is our engineer in the studio, making sure that I can be heard and broadcast. And when he told me you weren't there, I was like, oh, that's something
that's
horrible
odd.
Has happened to Craig.
Yeah.
No, it's not just odd. I immediately thought something bad had happened.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did. I got a call from Pete Zimmerman, the producer of Justin's show, at 11:19. And I woke up to that, and I woke up to my phone ringing. I'm like, oh, who's this calling? It's 11:19. The radio show's been on for 20 minutes.
Physically, does your heart feel like it's in your throat?
My whole body couldn't process it. I almost just shut down. Because this job, I know that people are late to jobs sometimes, but this job is one where you actually have that fear. I've had that nightmare of not being here on time and having the show happen without me, and now I've lived it. Now it actually that happened.
But to wake up knowing it's already in progress. Yeah. I mean, you can't make that time back.
Nope.
You know, you're no. And I had that happen.
Yeah.
I woke up in the middle of a final, in my bed. I didn't fall asleep at the final. I woke up 20 minutes into almost exactly the same amount of time. And I briefly considered throwing myself across the hood of a car so that I could
tell. The same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So at least the excuse is much better than I'm just asleep. I was just sleeping.
Well, and people have told me, but there would be a timestamp on the police report and the ER visit. I'm like, wow, who was tracking that down?
I didn't think that far into it, Patty. That's
me
a good
neither.
Point, though. You're right, yeah.
Okay, so you wake up at 11:19. You've gotten a phone call that the show has started without you.
It's on the air.
Which is a nightmare.
It is exactly that, a nightmare. It's interesting, though, and I found this out now, I can turn on my radio to see how my job's going. I can listen to you, see how you're doing. That's the first thing I can do. So I wake up, I turn the radio on as I'm getting dressed to come down here, and I'm like, okay, Patty sounds pretty great for not having a producer at all. And then I rush down.
Because you have prepared me. You have got me to the point where it's not that I can do it alone. It's that I have confidence in what I'm doing because you've gotten me this far. I'm just saying.
Okay. All right.
I reflect your guidance over the last 2 years.
Yeah, say a positive thing about me an hour late for the show. then I listen. I had a great conversation with my Uber driver, who, by the way, as nice to the guy he was the slowest Uber driver I've ever had.
This
was a terrible day for that.
They're very hesitant sometimes.
Yeah.
Did he have both feet, one on the gas, one on the brake?
He held the wheel with two hands, and he was actually going exactly 40 on Lakeshore Drive, which is my friend. That's a mistake moving forward. He should move a little faster. Yeah,
that's a disappointment right there.
But
in your heart, and you can't tell him. You can't be like, "Hey, pick it up, buddy. Let's go."
No, I was shaking though. I was shaking the whole time. This is terrible. But hello, Patty. I'm here.
Hey,
your show's happening.
Hey, it is. It's happening. Welcome, Craig Collins, to the show. I'm so sorry.
Thank you for that.
That's so weird.
Yeah. No, it was the worst.
It was very strange. 312-981-7200. Have you ever woken up when you were supposed to be somewhere? Because Craig, can I assure you that you are not the only one happened to?
And our show likes to do that from time to time to make people feel like they're not alone.
That's our mission.
It is.
Yes.
The uniqueness of our job makes it kind of worse, though.
Oh, please. It happens to everybody.
Oh, thank you.
It happens. Well, because we have such erratic hours.
Yeah.
You know, we're here, you're there until 2 or 3 in the morning. You maybe go to sleep at like 8, then you have to get up and do more work for the show. Then we have a meeting at 3.
Yep.
You have no chunk of time to get a fitful night's sleep because you don't have a night.
The handful of times that I've actually gone to bed around 8 o'clock, which is what happened tonight. I went to bed at 8 with the intent to be asleep for about 45 minutes before coming down to the station. The handful of times that I've done it that close to the show, I've always been really worried that something like this would happen. And now I'm not going to take a nap if we get that close to the show. I'm just not going to do that.
We have to set because I set my iPad, I set my phone.
Yeah.
When I'm at a hotel, I also have a wake-up call because it's my fear. It's my – there's a – I
it's
think
terrible,
there's a service.
Patty. Don't live it ever. It's the worst.
I lived it. I had it was my medieval women's history exam
at the
University of Illinois. Well, she let me. She was very kind.
Okay, good.
Because I was completely distraught.
Yeah. Well, you've been very kind too. Thank you for not.
Because I've been through this.
Yeah.
I've been you.
Yeah.
That's what I texted you. I've been you.
Yeah, that was so sweet of you, by the way. Actually, you texted me after I was finally awake. So this is during your radio show while you're probably interviewing someone. You texted me, "Breathe, calm down, it's okay." And that really did help me. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's okay.
The whole breathe one was great. Take a breath.
Yeah, because we forget.
I did. I wasn't doing anything. I almost passed out.
Because your organs just go.
No, and it's funny when you do get – when you jump out of bed and you know you're late, you move around your room as if like you're going to make yourself get somewhere quickly. And I did nothing for the first few minutes. I just was walking back and forth really confused.
Because you're convincing yourself this isn't happening. This isn't happening.
This can't possibly be happening.
Yeah, reality said. Oh, you know what I have for you, Craig?
Go ahead.
Since you missed some of the show, I actually have a copy of the State of the State address. If you'd like, I can go ahead and read the entire thing for you. It's only 33 minutes.
Yeah, that's fine. I think
although,
we can do that.
I think we can all agree I talk slightly faster than the governor of Illinois. And thankfully, he drops a lot of his G's. So it was funny. I was circling them starting out because I do have the entire text. And you know what? I was laughing because he spells out in his speech, he uses G's. Like, he doesn't have, like, waitin'. There isn't, like, waitin' in
right,
the apostrophe.
Right, yeah. It's not actually in the teleprompter.
But he has here's one line. All I'm asking for, and he said asking, all I'm asking for is a return to balance in this state. Cuz right now, right? So he wrote cuz. He didn't write because. So there he knew he wasn't going to use the full word. Cuz right now we don't have competitive balance and jobs are leaving.
Interesting.
And that was funny that he typed it out, or whoever typed it out that way. Like, be a little more informal on the word because.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm surprised that, like, when they type this out, they don't underline every G.
Yeah, let's make sure. By the way, we got Patrick on the line. He wants to jump in on the whole being late thing.
Yes. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, I actually had a deja vu of being late, like the exact – because my boss, I was on strike 3 for being late, you know.
Oh.
And I literally had the dream 2-3 days before of – the boss calling me saying, "Hey, where are you?"
Right.
Like at 7, I was supposed to be at the job at 7 o'clock, and it was 7:30, and I had I had the day, the dream, and I mean, it was the exact same thing happened when he called me. You know, he was saying, "You wake up, you're freaking out. You're like, I gotta go," but it was already strike 3, and it turned out that the guy actually gave me strike 4. Because I was not a bad employee. It was just getting on time, you know. It was being an engineer at a hotel, maintenance, you know. If I'm 5 minutes late or if a half hour, I can make it up. Not like you guys. Nothing.
Oh,
personal,
yeah, because you got people. Well, the thing is, you never feel like you can make that up either, especially when you feel like you've disappointed an employer.
Oh, I'm Mr. Late. I can't. Mornings I cannot do. From the age of 15 and a half, no, when I was 14, what I did was newspaper boy. I literally fell asleep on my house, you know, wrapping papers.
Oh, my, wow.
Grabbed the stack of 60 papers, brought them in, started rolling them up and shoving them in the bags, getting them ready. All of a sudden, I wake up, and it's like 7:30, and I was supposed, you know, I'm supposed to be done by 6:30. Mornings kill me. I can't do them, but, yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than being late and having the realization that, man, I'm beyond the point of late. I'm I'm an hour and a half late. You know, there's that sinking feeling. You cannot. There's nothing else you can do about that.
Well, and I don't. And I would say, like Craig, I don't think Craig is a habitually late person because I know
right,
I know
sure
that I am. Yeah, because I am, and Patrick, there's actually been science behind it. Have you ever read any of these articles about why some people are just late? And for me, and I'm guessing this is for you, we fail to accurately judge how long a task will take, right?
Oh, so always, even for family parties, any parties,
yep.
my wife always complains anything we do. You know, if her family has actually told us from the they tell us like an hour ahead of the actual time that you're supposed to be there because we are that late.
Yeah, it's also. Do you find yourself multitasking a lot? Because
No.
I do. You don't multitask?
Well, I do, but I to me, if it's not life or death, come on, seriously.
Well, and that's the thing too. They also say that if there isn't punishment or reward for being on time or being late, then we're less likely to learn to improve.
Well, my punishment, I lost that job. It was one more strike later. I lost my job, not for being late, but for something to do. Yeah, it was. Again.
Hey, Patrick,
I love you, Patty.
Thank you.
Six butts on there in Springfield for us, okay?
I'm just here to witness. I'm just trying to bear witness and sort of take it all in and have conversations about it. Well, thank you, Patrick.
You're doing awesome. I love you, man. You're a rock star.
Oh, you are too, Patrick. Let's be on time. Cheers.
No.
No? You refuse. It's never too late. Bye, Patrick. You're listening pretty late. See? That I even have a show called Pretty Late.
There
I'm always pretty late. Yeah, see? I own it. Oh, Craig. You're
so
okay.
Sorry. I'm here.
Craig.
I'm at the radio station.
Craig. 312-981-7200. Tell Craig he's not the only one. More after this on 720 WGN. Oh, was it me? You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. I don't have access. Let me pull up one of the live reads. Do we have a Tribune read here?
Yeah, I guess we do. We have a Tribune read. Right. We got to do that.
Hold on one second.
Yeah, no, I got this. I got a bump, too, if we just want to.
There we go.
Craig, shake. I want you to dance right now. Shake okay. every limb you have. Just shake it. Just shake it. Shake it
I'm
off.
I'm like a player that struck out three times in a row, and now you need me to hit in the ninth inning. I'm probably not going to get a hit right now.
Oh, okay. That's such a bad fit. Don't think that way.
That's
don't
great.
Think that way.
Nail it.
You got this.
Mm-hmm.
You got
Thank
this.
You. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Patty.
You're welcome. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live from the state of Illinois capital, Springfield. And I came down here to hear the State of the State address live in person, right in the room. Heard every word. I heard his inaugural State of the State address last year as well. And I remember last year I had reacted negatively to his proposal to increase the minimum wage, I believe, by a nickel over 20 years. Today I had a little bit of a problem with his attitude toward interventive services for our most vulnerable, calling them ineffective, reactive, and expensive. So that was kind of my takeaway. I mean, there was a commitment to improving education access for our children who are in rural areas, in neighborhoods in Chicago that are struggling. He had a lot to talk about, obviously attracting more business to the state of Illinois, keeping the businesses that we have. Not too much on how we're going to resolve the budget impasse, except that it has to be done with respect to each other from both sides of the aisle. So I don't know if anybody else had a chance to listen to the State of the State address. Again, anytime you want, Craig, Esmeralda, I will read this word for word.
That
I got the whole thing.
Lovely. By the way, we have another caller on, Stephanie, that wants to talk about being late.
Absolutely. Hey, Stephanie, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Very well. Tell us your story.
Excellent. I was in nursing school, which is always a very hectic, grueling schedule, and it was finals week. I had been studying and fell asleep. When I woke up, I looked just at my microwave. Oh, my God, it's 8 a.m. I'm late for my morning final. I'm flipping out. I jump in my car, and I'm driving, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, traffic seems so different today. What is going on? And I'm going, oh, my God, what time is it? And I call my stepmom, and all I say is it daytime or is it nighttime? It was 8 p.m.
What?
But I thought I had overslept for the morning because I'd fallen asleep studying the night before. woke up in a panic thinking I'm late for my final. It was nighttime. I hadn't overslept, but I did not go to sleep that night. I was too paranoid.
Oh my, well, the adrenaline kicks in. How much sleep had you gotten? Just a couple hours?
Yes, just a couple hours. I had a crazy sleep schedule when I was in nursing school. Anyway, you don't, because it's a lot of work. But yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, Stephanie, and that goes to what I was talking about with Craig. When you have an irregular sleep pattern, because I often wake up completely convinced that it is much later than the clock is telling me. I'm like, oh my God, you know, I often wake up in a state of alarm.
Yes. And is that not a good feeling. No.
No, not. How did you end up doing on that final?
Oh, I did fine. I did fine. Yes. All was well. All was
and
well.
You are currently a nurse?
I am currently a nurse. Yep.
And what type of what field are you in?
I'm a licensed practical nurse, an LPN, and I work two jobs. I work at a jail, the Porter County Jail, and PRN, which is as needed. And then I also work at St. Catherine's Hospital in East Chicago.
Oh, wow. You do have a busy schedule. You know, I don't know if you heard our conversation with Representative Cabello. Are you finding the strain to be more so than usual at the prisons, at the prison that you work at?
Am I finding what to be? I'm sorry.
There's more of a strain as far as like the population that might be suffering from mental illness or.
Oh, you know, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so 100%. It's very, it's sad. We don't have, it's sad. There are a lot of people in the jails with mental health issues. And it's just a continuing cycle, you know, because they'll come, we'll get them on medication, you know, they start doing better, they get released. And they don't have a support system when they leave, and they get into trouble again. And it's just, you know, they cycle through it all the time. It's a bummer. Yeah. Not enough of a support system for them.
That is one of the things that the governor pointed out today, just so you know, about how to help people you know, get back into life once they leave prison and to develop that support system. So, Stephanie, I thank you for the work that you do. I know that if it's because you need another job, but I think you probably do it out of the bigness of your heart. So thank you so much for that work.
Thank you for taking my call, and I do enjoy it. Yes, I do, and I'm glad. I hope we can help them more in the future. That would be awesome.
Thank you, Stephanie. Hey, Craig, can you give her a pizza for Lou Malnati's, please?
Yeah,
from our gift locker.
Yeah,
go to loumalnati.com.
Call back though. She did just hang up.
Oh, she hung up.
Please call back. Yeah.
Stephanie was too fast. Stephanie, call us back. Craig will know it's you. By the way, don't anybody else call and be like, "This is Stephanie."
I have the phone number. I saw it.
So, Stephanie, if you're hearing us, please give us a call back. We'd like to give you a Lou Malnati's pizza.
By the way,
to loumalnati.com. Yes?
Oh, sorry. We got a few texts as well about the late thing. This is why I have three alarms set, been there. Mm-hmm. It feels surreal. That's from the 773.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then from the 312, Craig, the state of the state was late, so don't worry at all. I don't know what that means. Was he late for the state of the state? I don't think so.
I don't, you know what, I would have to check my phones.
Yeah.
Well, because there's sort of that, I think the entire process began, there's a ceremonial sort of entrance. The senators are invited into the House of Representatives and they take their seats. And then the governor has to like knock and ask permission to enter. And then there's this big, you know, kind of pomp and circumstance, and he comes and takes his time walking down the main aisle, and he says hi to everybody along the way, gives his wife a kiss, shakes hands with Lisa Madigan, and Jesse White was there, and you know, there was a lot going on, so it was probably, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes late to do all that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it just me? It sounds like a wedding.
It is.
Like at one point, who gave him away?
Yeah. And I was the last one at the party. I was there so long that like all the staffers were like turning the chairs so that they were all kind of facing the center aisle. I'd never been there that long. I was taking care of some work in the press box. And yeah, and it's kind of weird because people don't really know. It is like a wedding because no one really knows when to leave. Like some people are kind of, you know, hanging around, you know, is the cash bar over now? I mean, is there a cash bar now? I'm not sure if it's an open bar. There's no bar in the Capitol. I'm just making a joke.
Well, that's a shame.
I know. It is a shame. Although there was a big party tonight, and it was mostly for staffers. Like a lot of, I said, who are all these kids? They were all a bunch of youngsters in their 20s. And I went up to the bar and I just got a club soda. And the bartender was like, smart on you. Stay out of trouble. These people are all getting too drunk in here. It was a little crazy.
Yeah, that sounds insane.
Do we have any more texts or phone calls?
No.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, though, I think we might have missed a live read. So if you want to do that before we hit the news coming up here in about a minute.
What would it be for?
I think it would be another GenuCell one.
Oh, well, let's go ahead and find one of those then. You talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Patty. What were you going to ask Esmeralda? I'll ask her that question.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Esmeralda, you've never been late for anything at all?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
But like, sounds like you have a list.
Something like this, though, where you really shouldn't be late and then
right.
you're late.
No, I've done the thing that the last caller who won the Lou Malnati's, when I used to work on a morning show, I showed up or I left my house. I usually leave. I left at 4 a.m. I left at about 2 because for some reason I didn't know how to read my alarm clock and I freaked out and I got on the train and I noticed there was a lot of people on the train. I'm like, what is going on? And I asked somebody the time and they said it was like 2:30. I'm like, oh, I'm really, really early.
Man.
I feel like you just rubbed that in, though. That is the reverse
of
what
because
I did.
Then I had to get off the train and go home. Because, what am I going to do for 2 hours?
Okay.
No
I was
one's
so
there.
Early. It was terrible.
It was awful. Yeah. No, that is
Esmeralda,
awful.
That sounds terrible.
Because then you have to worry about getting back there on time because now you've been awake for a little bit.
Right.
I once woke up in the middle of the quad.
Oh.
I sleptwalk. It was, and I was convinced that it was like, 9 a.m. or something. And I was standing there. It was like 5 a.m. And I was standing there thinking, and I had gotten fully dressed and everything. And I was like, man, like everyone's going to be late for class. I'm really late. I was very confused because I didn't know what time it was. And then I started to realize that I had been sleepwalking.
Yeah.
That's it. So there you go. That's a weird one. So you can wake up late or you can wake up and go, where am I? And that's not a good feeling at all.
Those are the worst when you don't know if it's night or day.
Yeah. There were several minutes tonight where I was really hoping it wasn't the time that it said it was. I was really praying for that.
You're like, okay, can I reset time? Yeah, where's the flash when you need him, Craig? Yeah,
amen. Oh, my God. That show's been great, though, recently.
It really
so
has.
So good this year.
You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and I'm broadcasting from Springfield, Illinois. But I read an article today. I was actually watching WGN Morning News, and they were showing images of a condo that is for sale that has not been touched, remodeled, not redecorated since the 1970s. And it is spectacular. It's a high rise in Rogers Park. I believe it's at Rogers Park. It's along the
West Rogers Park.
Yeah.
Rogers Park. And it is a smoking hot pad with it looks like velour type of huge like living room sized couch, and it's like emerald green. The bathroom has green and white tile, and I'm not doing a description of this apartment.
It's awesome.
Justice.
It's the coolest apartment I think any of us have ever seen. It's been trapped since the 70s without being updated at all, and it's exactly what you would expect.
It's pretty. It's outrageous. Yeah. I think a lot of people want it. I think it's going to go for more than the asking price.
Oh yeah.
I believe it's like $158,000 for the condo.
Yep.
Is that that's not a lot, is it? I'm not too familiar with. But it just doesn't seem like a.
Did that sound
a,
like Esmeralda is super rich? Real quick for a second. Then?
No, but like for a condo,
really
I would think
with...
they'd be way more.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I would take that more as like you've thought about getting a condo and then you see how much it is and
right.
you go, no, thank you.
No, thank you. No, thank you. No, yeah, it's weird that it's a super viral condo and then like you both said, it's affordable to a lot of people.
But now I'm not sure and I think it's in the story where whether or not, God, this couch is just so crazy. It's a big, it's like almost a full circle. I was going to say a half circle. But it's a full-on, and then the metallic and brown—it's silver and bronze wallpaper for the. It can't. I'm not doing it again. I'm not doing any justice to the decoration, the design of this apartment. But it is, and it's funny because it has gone viral. They're talking this. Yeah. The article you sent is from England because they're talking about how it's £110,000. Which I believe it's about 100. I'm going to just spitball.
Yeah,
that it's
your conversions from the pound to the dollar. Like I think you got it. It's a groovy penthouse.
It's a groovy.
This
it's
thing is
a
groovy.
It's described as a three bedroom. You're right, Esmeralda. That sounds like way less. $158,000 for a three bedroom condo you know, I mean, like if you bought it and you could rent out, you'd be fine with the mortgage. So I'm not sure why it's – and oh, my God, this bedroom with like geometric patterns. You have to go –
okay,
just Google groovy – yes.
Can we talk about that idea though? Because it's a condo with three bedrooms, but you'd be living in the same quarters as the people you rented it to.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be totally comfortable if two people really wanted to move in with you in this condo? I wonder what kind of applicants you'd get.
I think you would have to actually buy this, leave it the way it is, and I think you probably have to pay more for the fixtures. Don't you?
Yeah.
I can't imagine they're going to sell it at $158
fully
furnished
stocked
this way. But the Airbnb on this would be a lot of fun.
That'd be amazing.
You know, and I would have like a closet full of like 1970, like, you know, huge bell bottom pants and platform shoes that have goldfish in them and, you know, big, huge wigs. And you install a sound system and it's always playing music from Saturday Night Fever. That's what I would do.
Which would be amazing for the first few days and then awful for the rest of your life.
Yeah, but people who come to stay there.
No, If it were a destination spot, you're right. This would be incredible. You'd have to throw parties here. It would.
Yes.
Yeah.
The time capsule.
It is for sure.
Now, the one thing I've wondered, like, does anybody know, like, what's the story behind it? Because every time I read something, it's just like how cool it is. It's like, well, why is it like this?
Why did no one update?
Did someone die in there and then just no one touched it ever again?
No, but shag pile carpeting everywhere. And you know that's got to be in the kitchen, too. Remember when they used to put carpeting? Yeah, you're both too young.
No, my parents had carpet in the kitchen.
Oh,
there's a
man.
Great picture of my mom in this kind of like muumuu thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it pretty much matches the carpet.
Oh,
so
man.
She could have camouflaged herself into the kitchen carpet.
She's a chameleon in her own home.
It's interesting. In the story, too, it says that this penthouse was put on the market in 2012 and failed to attract any offers. And now, 3-4 years later, because the 70s are back in style, it went viral.
Is that true? Are the 70s back in style?
Yeah, has that changed over a 3 or 4 year period where people wouldn't have been interested, but now they really want a 70s pad?
Is the furniture included?
No.
No.
Oh, see, then try putting your regular old furniture in this place. It would look so weird.
It would look very weird. Oh, man. Yeah, but three bedrooms is still Esmeralda.
Three bed, two bath.
What?
Yeah.
For 100, that's not a lot, I don't think, right?
It doesn't seem.
Well, but if it hasn't been updated, like the decorations haven't been updated at all, then do you think that maybe there's some problems? It might have some issues.
Interesting.
Is there a ghost? There's a ghost.
Yeah, there's probably a ghost. Definitely a ghost.
Are properties less if they have a ghost?
I would think because no one wants to live there.
Well, would you
they
have
only
to,
last a night.
Would you have to prove ghost?
Right? Well, you do have to disclose, don't you? And I could be wrong about this, but maybe it's different state to state. You have to disclose whether or not someone has been murdered on a property.
I mean, wow. I've seen plenty of horror movies where
people
are dying.
I've also seen a lot of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, it's old man Jones wearing a mask.
This is where Shaggy should be living now that he's retired from, you know, solving crimes.
Dude.
This is great.
I like that.
Yeah, no, I thought you had to disclose if somebody had died at all. I didn't think it was just murder. I thought if someone passed away, you had to disclose that. No?
Hold on a second, Craig. I just opened an email. I have breaking news. I have breaking news,
go ahead,
Craig Collins.
Yes.
I have breaking news. I've just gotten an email from C2E2, from the folks at work there, and they want to know if I would be they've asked me to be a guest on the panel for this.
Yes, do this.
Oh my, no, not even, it's even better. It gets better, Craig. Hold on
is
a second.
Is it Stephen Amell?
That would be amazing. No, this is the panel they're inviting me to do. Parenting, raising kids on comics, sci-fi, and fantasy.
That sounds amazing. That is amazing breaking news.
What? Yeah. I know it's breaking news in Patty World. I apologize. To
everyone else involved. No, that is definitely breaking news.
And then you have to do the panel in your Wonder Woman costume.
Oh,
absolutely! All of that's happening. We have to talk to our costume designer, our friend who does. Yeah, because I want a good Wonder Woman costume. Mine's all like I have to pin it to my bra kind of situation. And then I have to wear like a leotard, long sleeve leotard under it. It's not fun for
anybody.
We're
going to make this happen. This sounds great.
Oh, I am so excited. Well, I don't know if I was supposed to read that on the air, but I thought you would appreciate it. So
I do. And you're saying yes, so it's fine.
Her name is Valia Lupescu, and she's a writer and a comic book. I believe she's a This is fantastic.
Congratulations, Patty.
Mm-hmm. She's a mom, writer, comic, and comic creator. She would love to add me to the panel they're creating. Yes, that's happening. Well, I noticed today that C2E2 started following me on Twitter, so thank you, C2E2.
That's really cool. I'm really excited for C2E2. Supergirl's going to be there. It's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Stephen Amell. Do you think he'll be wearing a shirt?
I feel like he does that. I feel like when he does public
appearances. God, I just turned into a sexist pig. I'm like every guy I dislike.
Yeah.
He has a particular physique.
Well, let's not be unfair to you, Patty, too. On the TV show, he finds a lot of reasons to take his shirt off. There's
a lot of shirtless amount.
People who are fans of the show would almost, as you did, expect him to be shirtless at some point when you see him.
But you know, I will say this: he has some just mesmerizing eyes, so that'd be fine. I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The rest is you know.
If he is or is not shirted, that's fine.
Yeah, that's and you know what? Good on you. Do you? and I'll do me. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from the Allstate Showcase Studio South. I am in Springfield. I came down to see what the legislature's up to, see what the General Assembly's got planned for getting this budget done. And I heard the governor's State of the State address. You know, the economy of Illinois has been a little erratic, but I was surprised today when Craig sent me this piece on how much rent is in Chicago. I have been lucky to not rent since 2001, and I thank my mother for being able to buy a two-flat. We have two apartments. My mother lives downstairs. I live upstairs. So we've had a pretty controlled rent situation, and I'm not just thanking her on the air because I know she listens to the show, and I really, really need her to still love me, Mommy, please. But I can't imagine spending what they are now saying is the median rent in Chicago for a one-bedroom apartment. Esmeralda, did you have a chance to see this this article?
I didn't. Okay. How much are they?
What do you think the median rent is in Chicago? And I guess a median
for one
that
bedroom?
Takes for one bedroom.
I'm gonna go $850.
Oh my God, Esmeralda! See, now this has to be taken into account, like Lincoln Park. You know, well, some of the places that are higher end. It has to be.
There's a graphic that actually breaks it down by neighborhood. Which is a little bit – so depending on what neighborhood you live in, like, for example, the most expensive near North Side is $2,260 a month for a one-bedroom.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That would be in this area, though.
Irving Park, which is a little bit toward your neighborhood, Esmeralda, you would be right. It is $900.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to – yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Edgewater is $1,150.
Mm-hmm. Where is that?
And then Edgewater.
Is Lakefront.
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an average one bedroom.
Man, I used to have a one bedroom in Edgewater at Bryn Mawr and Broadway. $730.
Nice.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Albany Park is included.
Really?
Did you live
Why
in
did
closet?
You move?
Yeah, why yeah, did you
I moved in with my now ex.
Oh.
We've all been there.
So is that apartment available right now?
No, they've upped it. They've upped those prices now. So.
All right.
Also near you is Albany Park, which would be $1,050.
No, that is Lake... that's my neighborhood.
Oh, it says $1,050 for your neighborhood.
I'm not paying that. What?
And you shouldn't. Lakeview, $1,300. Lincoln Square. I lived in Lincoln Square in the late 90s. I had a two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment for $600. That is now $1,270. No, I'm sorry. That's for a one-bedroom. So a two-bedroom that would now be
$1,580.
$1,580. I paid $600 in 1998. that's a little significant.
Yeah, that's a lot significant.
That seems like it'd be a lot in that year. No,
what $600 in 1998? $600.
Oh, $600. Good deal?
That was a really good deal. Yeah, I mean, because studios. I had a studio before that in 1997 for $400. So a studio for $400 and then a two bedroom for $600. Yeah, that was a really good price. At the time. And actually, my building was purchased while I was still living there, and they tried increasing my rent to $1,000, like 30-day notice. And I'm sure I had some sort of legal recourse, but I was young and stupid. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll move.
All right, fine.
I know, that included covered parking, Esmeralda. And I believe it covered some of the utilities, like heat, but I paid for electricity.
You know, you guys are making me feel a little bit sad that my rent is also kind of normal. On this list, I'm like sort of close to my average. Maybe
we don't know what that means.
Well, I live in Edgewater, and it's 11:50, and I pay pretty much 11:50.
Oh,
dang,
yikes.
Man!
Yeah,
yeah. Esmeralda, the median is $1,970 for a median rent.
I can't
in
even. I wouldn't be able to live here if I had to pay that amount.
Well, I think that would, you know, but I think that, and we're talking the really expensive apartments, as Craig mentioned, are in places like the Near North and the Loop. Of course, that's going to be expensive. Lincoln Park is expensive. Evanston, I lived there when I was in grad school. So those are, but I think, but you can get a nice apartment in Irving Park, in Portage Park, Avondale for, you know,
right. I mean, the more west you go, the better the deals.
Right. Humboldt Park is, it depends on what kind of neighborhood you want to live in. And then you also have to know the neighborhood, you know? So, I mean, you know, Roseland, I don't think we're moving to Roseland. People don't want to live, and that's $700 a month.
Well, and that 1970 is also seventh on the list of cities in the U.S. So it's not as high up as maybe you'd think.
Right.
We're below Washington, D.C., San Jose, California, a bunch of California.
And I would think it would be a reflection too of like the erratic housing market for the last 15 years. You know, so I mean, like, how do people who have multi-unit properties manage that? You know, whether it was with their mortgages and, you know, just the volume has got to be really hard to maintain. So, and I have friends who own multi-unit. I would never want to be a landlord. I know a lot of people make money that way. There just seem to be so many horror stories about tenants destroying the property or not leaving, not paying their rent on time. Just so many things that I don't think I have you have to have, you know, just an iron gut to handle that. Esmeralda, do your parents own any property that they rent out?
No.
No.
I don't think they could deal with that. Just having someone, because just from me thinking, like having to call the landlord, I'd be like, I would not want to be you, man. Just because things happen. It's like, hey, my heat's being weird.
Yeah.
You better call somebody.
Right.
Like, I don't have to pay for it. It's like, it's just to have to think about all that kind of stuff. It's like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, you have to be a very organized person to make sure you've got everything in order. Everything's up to date. Yeah, I can't imagine. 312-981-7200. Do you have a, you know, property that you manage? And what is it, you know, what is that experience like? Because most of the people I talk to, it seems like such a headache, and yet so many people do maintain multi-unit properties. My neighbor had to get the courts involved. She had to have, you know, the sheriff's department basically come and remove the tenant from the property because he refused to leave. And he had done a lot of damage to the basement. He was claimed he was remodeling it and, you know, kind of told her, hey, I'll do this work for you. I'll do some plumbing, and kind of did some irreversible. Well, I'm sure she can reverse it, but it's expensive and extensive damage to the basement. So, I can't.
By the way, we have Steve on the line. He also lives in Edgewater, did live in Edgewater, and pays about the average. So way to go, Steve.
All right.
Well,
hey, Steve.
When I first moved in, you tossed out the number 1150, and that's what I was paying in 1984. And we paid $2,400.
Whoa! And so you've rented.
It's a nice brownstone, secure building, but
how many bedrooms?
Two.
Two bedrooms. Was there ever an opportunity to make it a condo, or is that just you've always wanted to just?
Well, it's a two flat. The guy that owns it lives downstairs. We live upstairs.
Well, and how long have you lived there?
32 years.
Man, so you must have a really good relationship with your landlord. Very friendly. I've been living there that long.
Yeah.
Almost like family.
Seems like it. Yeah.
Maybe he can lower the rent finally a little bit.
When Craig tossed out the number 1150, because that's what we paid when we first moved in.
Wow. Now, are you from Chicago originally?
No, I'm from downstate originally, Galesburg, Illinois. Well, you've been in Knox College, Orpheum Theater, all that.
I have. I performed there with the Bob and Tom All-Stars. Now, when you moved to Chicago, how shocking was that? Because I would have to think that the rent in Galesburg was nowhere near what you found in Edgewater.
No. When I first moved up there, it was Logan Square, and then found a place in Edgewater. And there you've been ever since. Yeah, it was just the irony that he said 1150.
That's what you started out as. Well, thank you so much for sharing that memory with us and your experience. Have a great night.
All right.
Thank you. There you go. Wow. He paid that much when he moved into the apartment.
That's in the 80s, actually.
Yeah. I used to want to live in Logan Square. We found a great apartment when we were looking around. It was the first time when Steve and I were still, I think we were dating. We hadn't gotten married yet. And my dad was still alive at the time. You know, when we have that segment Over by Dare, I always attribute that to the way my dad talked. And we were going through this apartment, appreciating all the like the great detail the owner had put into it. You know, in the kitchen there was great task lighting and beautiful trim that looked like it was all hand done. And I said, I didn't even know I did this. I said, so you do this yourselves? And Steve, when we left, he goes, you know, you said use, do this yourself. I'll never forget that. It was one of my favorite apartments. I saw a couple apartments that just got, you know, slipped through our fingers because somebody else put the security deposit down. Have you ever had that? That's a heartbreaking moment. Yeah. You fall in love with a place.
Yeah, that's really depressing. I use the apartment people. They mm-hmm. take me on all my apartment searches, and I've had that happen once where Betty and I really liked the first apartment we actually tried to move into ever. When we moved out, because we were living with my roommate for a while. Betty moved mm-hmm. in and I was living with my friend. And it was the best thing ever for me, not for her. Apparently that's not okay.
No.
Yeah.
No.
There was a
How many bathrooms?
Factor. Just the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah. The first one we tried to move into, somebody beat us to it, which was very sad. I know. But we really like our apartment now.
What do you remember the most about that apartment you liked?
I remember that Betty liked it. That was the number one thing I remember. She loved the kitchen. There was something about the way the kitchen was laid out, and it had like a circular door entrance something. But all I remember is that she really liked it.
You're such a dude. I mean, I think dudes probably have remembered details. I remember there was an apartment that I really liked in the Lincoln Square area that had sort of this the bathroom. The bathtub had like an arch over it, so the bathtub looked like it was kind of like a little covey, you know, kind of cuddly. Not cuddly, but it looked cozy in the bathtub. I can't explain it, but I love the details around the bathtub. I remember these stupid things of apartments that I fell in love
right.
with. And,
no, I'm
and got
sure
away
if
from
we
me.
Got Betty on the phone right now, she could explain the entire apartment to you. And this was 6 years ago or something.
Yeah, well, because when you walk into a place and you imagine yourself living there, you know, your imagination gets away from you.
Right.
I remember I really wanted to try to find a house when Steve still had a job. And we were in the car, and I used to love going to open houses, you know. And I he did not enjoy that process, and I really wanted to stop at this one place, and he wouldn't pull over, so I jumped out of the car while it was moving. I mean, we weren't going really fast.
Yeah, fine.
He was really he will attest to that, and we ended up going to the open house, and we still talk about that house. It was really nice. It was a ranch in Skokie, and it was actually like a cool coach house attached that I thought, you know, it'd be great, like if my mom lived with us and she could have the coach house. It was really a beautiful huge space that would have been really nice.
You know, I'm connecting some dots here. You say that you didn't really play with a lot of action figures growing up, but you got to pretend to be a superhero. You jump out of cars when they're moving really fast.
I think not really
a superhero.
Fast. Complex.
Yeah, you also tried to be a police officer for a little while, Patty, right? You had a second life as a superhero here, I think.
I'm not grounded in reality. That might be
no.
A lot of,
no,
I never tried to jump off
people
a building.
We look up to, right?
But I never did. I don't think, well, that sounds a little
like
dangerous.
Agent Carter's never tried to fly. And that
such
show's
a good
awesome.
Show.
Yeah.
That's such a good show.
Yeah, she's doing great.
Yeah.
These are real people, well, right? These superheroes, they're all real people?
Oh, yeah. No,
okay,
absolutely.
Good. Wonderful.
Yeah, to us, they are. They're
they
very
sure
important.
Are.
Mm-hmm. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting from our Allstate Showcase Studio South from Springfield, just one block away from the state capitol, where I was in the press box for the governor's State of the State address. Craig, are you sure you don't want me to read the whole thing? To our distinguished guests and to the media, thank you for attending today.
Right.
To the members of the National Guard, our servicemen and women, and our veterans, thank you on behalf of a most grateful state. I'm sorry, let me see what else I can get to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Illinois' economy has been split in two, one part with modest growth, the other in decline. I didn't know that.
So that sounds like Chicago versus not Chicago?
Mm-hmm. There are areas within 90 minutes of O'Hare Airport that compete with other expensive mega cities around the world.
Okay.
Thanks to access to global transportation infrastructure, first-class universities, and world-class cultural amenities, white-collar communities in the Chicago area have mostly been able to overcome the financial mismanagement that is now strangling Chicago and Cook County.
Words.
But yeah. It's difficult in the rest of the state. Harvey, Blue Island, Kankakee, Rockford, East Moline, Peoria, Decatur, Danville, Mount Vernon, and Marion. There's a list.
Yeah, no, that's a list. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Those communities have to compete with other states, like Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Tennessee, Tech. I feel like this is a geography test.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like I should take notes now.
I took a lot of notes.
Are you reading back through it? Does it make you sad?
Well, I just it's not inspirational. I don't think it's meant to be, although you would think since we are in distress and we want to be guaranteed that there's going to be improvement, that there's going to be a step in the right direction.
No, you're
this was not that speech.
It's like if you were down at halftime and you're the football coach and you just went in and told your team how bad they were doing. You didn't give them any sort of inspirational, let's go out and try in the second half, guys. Just you guys are terrible right now.
Yeah.
Bad things.
Factory workers in Indiana, Wisconsin, Iowa, Tennessee, and South Carolina, when you adjust for the cost of living, now make more than workers in Illinois.
Oh.
I didn't know.
That's a negative, yeah.
That seems like that's outrageous. Factory workers in Texas are now making more than Illinois folks, even without adjusting for the cost of living.
Adjusting, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's outrageous. We should be kicking Texas tail.
Yeah.
I like that he used tail instead of ass. I think that that's probably appropriate.
Yeah, I think that was a good move.
I really do have the whole speech in front of me.
I can hear it.
I know. Hold on a second.
Okay, yeah, get to that. Yep.
Do you know what I saw? Okay, I don't know how to explain this. There was a moment of hostility right in front of the press box. There were two women, and we were the press and several other people are handed a complete copy of the transcript for the speech. And there were two women in front of me. There was a very terse conversation. And one woman said, here, do you want this? And the other woman said, that's not going to do me any good. And I was like, wow, who's this, you know, very angry person? It was the woman who does the sign language for the speech. And I now understand why she was kind of anxious, because we were moments away from the entire House of Representatives filing in. And I would think she would really need an advance copy of the speech.
Yeah.
Because I was like, wow, this lady's a little, ooh, good reason. Yeah. You have a tough job ahead of you.
I support her now. She was angry before, but now I'm on her team.
Yeah, you know one of the most beautiful languages known to mankind, and you need to take a speech that's about spending and living and working. I wonder, like, can she drop the G's on the sign language?
That's
like,
is there a good question?
I don't know.
Maybe they have to develop kind of a thing for Rauner. And they're just like, now all the G's are gone.
Because she can't do the nuanced, folksy kind of tone that he has when he does the speech.
And without hearing that, it's just not the same speech.
Yeah, if you take a look, if you get a chance to see any shots, you'll see her behind him. Very attractive blonde woman who, moments before was very anxious to get a copy of the speech. So I apologize for judging you. You were absolutely right to be anxious. I was like, what's her problem?
You know, since we're getting in this whole little, we apologize for stuff. I do apologize to my Uber driver for being a little passive aggressive and asking him to go faster. I do. I'm sorry about that. Saying things like, how long have you been in Chicago? It's really not normal to drive this speed on Lakeshore Drive. I apologize for those sentences, sir.
Do you remember your driver's name?
Uber tells you. I don't remember.
It does.
But
it does.
Uber tells me. We had a very lovely conversation about India and how he misses it, and then I was passive-aggressive about his speed.
Are you going to give him 5 stars?
I will. I'll give him 5 stars right now,
You
and I'll give him an
know.
Apology in there, too.
Craig, do you sit in the front seat or the back seat?
I'm always a back seat. And actually, I think, do you think there's some sort of thing they can access that tells you what you like and dislike as a passenger? Because no one really talks to me, and I kind of like that. I like just riding quietly.
Silently?
Yeah.
Yes. I think Lyft more so than Uber gives you the opportunity to be specific in your feedback.
Got it.
As far as having a silent driver, I don't think that's an option when you make the request, although that would be, I think, a lot of people. I wonder how many people would choose chatty driver.
Yeah, I don't. It's weird because Uber and Lyft and all those things, they have to get these stars, so maybe they think they need to talk more. But I really enjoy just getting driven somewhere. That, to me, is a 5-star. His name is Aziz, by the way, and I just gave him 5 stars.
Hi, Aziz. Five stars for you.
Thanks, Aziz. Mm-hmm. Sorry about
that. Thank
you.
But sorry you missed home.
40 miles an hour exactly on Lakeshore Drive, man. You might want to switch that a little. Yeah,
pick up the pace. Pick up the pace.
A little bit. No. I mean, everybody was flying by us.
I would say 45. I would say,
45.
I would say keep up with traffic.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's very fair.
You don't have to go as fast as the fastest car. Let him get pulled over. But you don't want to be the one holding everybody up behind you. And you don't need to lag behind, because if everyone else is, if you're keeping up with everyone, they can't catch you all.
Right. No, exactly correct. Exactly. And it's, you could get rear-ended. I think there are risks to being the slowest person out there. So
there are significant risks.
Uh-huh.
I agree.
But anyway, Aziz, great job. Good job. Nice talk.
I took two Ubers while I was in Springfield. Lyft has not come to Springfield, by the
really?
Way. They only have Uber.
What about that sidecar one?
I don't have
that's
the sidecar app.
That's a thing, too. I don't know how popular it is.
Do they know that that's actually patented by the Pretty Late Show?
Yeah, I don't think they do. I've told them when I've ridden in their cars, but they don't seem to care.
Do you get to have a sidecar cocktail?
No. That would be lovely.
That's very disappointing.
Yeah.
I don't know
if they could give us cocktails and, you know, maybe snacks of some kind and also not talk to us, that would be the best company to drive me around ever.
We have a lot of requests for these shared ride programs.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, guys.
Just saying.
The game.
Uh-huh. Bring it.
Bring it.
Speaking of sidecars and cocktails, the bartender, Nikki, at Knife and Tine makes a spectacular sidecar. We should probably stop in and have one of those this
weekend.
Get Nikki
Allen out again. We're going to have In Fine Spirits on this Friday. They're going to bring us cocktails.
Lovely. Mm-hmm. Very nice. For the weekend wind-up with Rob Martier.
Yep.
Very nice. Yeah, it's going to be – I'll be in studio on Friday, and then I'm off to Los Angeles on Monday. I have some meetings. We're continuing to work on the development of my sitcom. It's very strange. It's a whole very strange thing. But it doesn't look as though we'll be in the rotation for this year's sitcoms. So it's
a
lot of work.
Those take a while. That makes sense.
Takes a long time. Takes a very, very long time. But we're still in the – it was funny because it seems that, you know, it's a lot of stop and go, which is fine. There are worse places to be, you know, to not be considered at all would be a worse place to be.
For
so,
sure.
The fact that they're like, hey, come on out. We need to have some meetings and sit down with some folks. So that's where we are with and the show is now tentatively titled again, Patty Happens. So we're doing all that. Oh, by the way, thank you for posting that video for the AMC theaters.
Oh, sure.
We have that posted on the Patty V Show page, and that was such a beautiful theater. That's the Block 37 Dine-In Theater experience, and we're getting some nice responses to that. So
we are getting some odd text messages now for what people want in their Uber rides.
Yes, please.
630.
Oh,
I want them to talk dirty to me.
I
don't know.
That that's got to be on the horizon as an option. You know, you have nude maids and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
you
you're right.
A dirty driver. Dirty driver.
Dirty driver. Taxis really can't compete with that. When you have dirty drivers out there, they're not going to be able.
But then, I mean, it has to be that, but that has to be regulated, right? Because you can't cross a line. And what if you press the wrong button? Maybe you didn't ask for dirty driver, and they pull up, you get in the car, and they're all nasty with you, and you're like, then you're calling the police from the back seat.
To be honest, too, if it is a dirty driver situation, as the driver, I would be a little afraid if I don't have the glass screen then at that point. Like, I don't think I'd want the passenger to be able to get to me.
Right.
Yeah.
See?
You need the protection then.
Yeah, see, all kinds of safeguards have to be put in place for dirty driver.
That's years away, dirty driver.
Plus, that's how someone got hurt in Detroit yesterday, was being a dirty driver.
That is true. Still not funny. Kind of funny.
No, not funny at all. But a warning to us all, do not drive while watching porn and your pants
off. Very nice PSA.
Wow, so crazy.
You can take a break, Patty.
All right, let's take a break. More after this. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from our Allstate Showcase Studio South in Springfield, Illinois. I'm one block away from our Capitol, where hopefully things will look up and maybe turn around. I don't know if I want to say turn around. I know that our budget has been tied to a turnaround agenda, you know, related to workman's comp and pensions. And these are all things that are like, why does that matter? You know, look, in the grand scheme of things, it does all matter. And I think that there are a lot of good men and women who are trying to piece this all together, do the best job they can. I think that there is a certain amount of tone deafness coming from the executive branch, from our governor's office, when he does say things like, you know, that there are ineffective interventions when it comes to our most vulnerable population. And then, Craig, did we talk at all about his wife hiring a chief of staff for $100,000?
Nope.
That's a being billed to taxpayers. That was on Friday, the same day that the Lutheran Services of Illinois announced that they would be cutting 40% of their workforce and sending 4,700 people to find services somewhere else, including veterans, the senior citizens who rely on their in-home care, and individuals with disabilities, after-school programs, programs for runaways. They announced that the first lady of Illinois, Rauner, has – what's her name? Is it Diana Rauner? She has hired a chief of staff. Are they billionaires? I don't know.
Yeah, they're billionaires, I think.
I don't know that the state of Illinois needs to pay $100,000, which sounds like a drop in the bucket, but it doesn't when someone just lost their $40,000 job.
Right.
And that just seems a little bit, you know, like someone's got blinders on, a little myopic.
Yeah. I'm also, is this silly of me to wonder, but why isn't she paying for it herself? She's not who we voted in.
No, I know. I mean, and people would say, you know, the first lady of the United States, you know, Michelle Obama has a chief of staff, but she actually, I mean, she does appearances. That's something that we have built up nationally to be a symbol of our country, is that position as the first lady. I agree, Esmeralda. I've never heard about any of the appearances that she makes. And even so, I mean, yeah, they're billionaires. What more do you need from the state of Illinois? I mean, I don't even think he's not taking a salary. I guess, is there something legal where they can't pay somebody to do that? And if you have a chief of staff, then that implies that you also have other people working under that chief, because then they have a staff of people that they have to be chief to.
See, this is where we can really learn lessons from Game of Thrones. Really, that's what it comes down to. The High Sparrow, he lives a very modest lifestyle, you know,
right.
And he's in charge of everybody. Of course, Patty, the High Sparrow is the guy that they're all looking to right now. And he, you know, he doesn't even wear shoes.
Oh.
So why can't we do that, guys?
But it's so muddy where they are, Greg.
I know. But if Rauner just wasn't wearing shoes, would we feel better about him?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't need to see that. Now I've got that image in my mind.
Yeah.
He really needs to see a
pedicure.
Didn't
spend any more money on shoes and stuff. That'd be cool.
Oh, there's a lot to be done.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's why we come down here, though, is to pay attention. My goal is for people to feel like this is accessible, that your representatives, that your senators, that your governor is accessible, that you should be able to write to them, to let them know what your concerns are, that they are aware. We talked to Representative Cabello, who said that his constituents don't want their property taxes to go up. If that's your concern, make sure that's what he knows, because that's what his constituents are telling him. If you are concerned about your child's school, if you are concerned about services for your parents, for a veteran, you know, make those concerns. Tell them the individual stories. Why is that important to you? Because I assure you, the men and women in our General Assembly do remember. Some of them go door to door to check in with you to see what's going on, and some of them wait to hear from you. So there's different ways to approach our government. We should be proactive. Democracy is not something that should be easy, and we should continue to work at it. So I'm going to just step down now from.
Yeah, that was great. That was really good. When are you running for stuff?
No, I'm not going to run for stuff. I have to say,
happened last time, right? You started talking about this, and people started voting for you on our text messages.
I don't know about that.
You did.
I just am very passionate about people being heard. I think that we just feel like, you know, and when we do, some people react out of anger, and not that that's not appropriate. Obviously, there's so much to be angry about, but when you yell at somebody, when you get mad at them, that's a conversation ender. But when you say, this is what's important to me, you know, not like somebody on my Facebook post said, you know, tell the stupid Democrats that they're ruining the, that's not a conversation starter. Hey, stupid.
Right.
That's not how, I mean,
what you just
weird.
Said is also pretty lovely, that people just want to be heard and you want to help people get heard. Isn't that what public servants are supposed to be doing? Aren't they supposed to be getting our message to?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's happening there?
Yeah. What's going on with you?
Yeah.
Well, I think that some of them proactively seek the opinions of their constituents. I think that others are, you know, figure if it's not important, if they're not hearing from their constituents, then I guess everything's okay. You know, there is a balance to that. I know one representative told me they'll get like phone calls in the middle of the night that there's, you know, someone's putting flyers on their windshield. Well, that's not something you need to. That's an email. That's an appropriately timed email.
Yeah, in the morning.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that you could also probably call the number on the flyer and say, stop putting crap on my windshield. That's maybe your first
You know, this reminds me of a conversation we had with our boss today and a segment that she pitched to us. I don't know if you remember the name of that segment.
Can I say? This is my favorite title, Esmeralda. This is something, and
I don't think you can say the last word.
I can't. Why not? Someone said it the other night.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, you know, one of our bosses said that never mind.
No, it's fine. No, keep going. It's still shrouded in mystery.
No, it's not.
All right.
No, it's not. That's all right. Yeah.
Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Yeah. That's the idea, that people should really not be jerks.
Don't be a jerk. Yeah, we were talking about when, people question whether or not someone who is homeless, if they really are homeless, they're just, somebody who's going to get into their car. Or if you give somebody your leftover food, people get mad if they see that person, then just throw it away. And, you either give someone something because you want to hand it over and then it is out of your possession. What they do with it is no longer up to you.
Right.
And if they throw away your leftover food, and our boss would point it out.
Oh, Patty, we might have lost you again there. Our boss pointed out, as you were saying, though, that if you see a homeless person kind of toss something that you gave them, you shouldn't be so upset about that because maybe they didn't want your food. Maybe they have a peanut allergy or something like that, and there's a reason why they would not want to have that meal.
Right, and it's also a thing of, well, why are you giving him the food? Just to make yourself feel better?
Yeah, no, amen to that, too. Why do you assume that he's hungry at this exact moment? Maybe someone else just gave him food.
Exactly. Are you going to stand there and watch them eat it?
Yeah, it's kind of really crappy when you look at someone and go, here, you have my 5 bites taken out of it piece of pizza.
Interesting. Can you hear me now?
But you're homeless.
Patty, you're back.
You should be grateful that I've given you this.
I don't want to bring it all the way home.
It's like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, Esmeralda, we have some expectation of how we want to, be sort of appreciated. That's not why you give someone something. You give it because you want to help, not because you want to be thanked. Right?
Right.
I guess.
Exactly.
Although I do get angry when I hold the door open for somebody and they don't say thank you. Is that too much?
No. I think everyone should always say thank you for that.
I let it go today.
What about when you get a revolving door for somebody?
When you start the revolving door?
Actually,
so you spin it for them? What
do
you do?
When you fully push it, they don't actually touch it at all. I notice sometimes when I'm pushing a door,
weird.
The person behind me just walks.
I
would
just
at least like a thank you.
You should just stop so they're trapped.
You know what happens with me is that people don't push it hard enough, and so then I help them. And then they kind of get all freaked out because they weren't pushing it as hard. I'm like, yeah, no, I need to be somewhere. I don't know why you're taking your sweet time revolving the door.
So you speed it up.
Yeah, no, I push it real hard. So just be careful if you're ever in front of me in a revolving door because I will push that thing hard.
There's such a lack of urgency when it comes to moving, whether you're a pedestrian or a driver like Craig's Uber driver.
Yeah.
People got places to be. I will say this. I was in a hurry in the Capitol, and the floors are all marble. And apparently my boots don't have much traction on marble. So I was running up a flight of stairs and completely.
You ate
just,
it.
Oh, I ate it so hard.
Oh, no.
I fell. And there were two people at the top of the stairs. I went down so hard that they came toward me to help me. But yeah, it was one of those things where I'm like, did I just break my wrist? I'm pretty sure I just broke my wrist.
Did
your
stuff go everywhere too? Was it one of those?
I had my backpack, so that was an extra weight, like on top, like going forward, my balance was completely off. I was going up the stairs. Thank God I wasn't going down the stairs, but, it was startling for everybody.
Did everyone start clapping?
No,
school cafeteria.
That's weird. And you have that moment where you're like, you just try to like walk. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. And you're like, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. And you try to walk normal, but one knee is sort of like turned out. My ankle's all twisted.
Did you play it off at all? Like you did it on purpose?
Yes. No, I'm just like, no, I'm fine.
I always do that.
I usually laugh at myself. Like, oh, that was funny. I just felt really bad.
I just start inspecting the floor. Just really checking, making sure.
Someone spilled something right there. Clearly. Clearly, there's something structurally wrong with that stair. It is not at the same height as the other stairs. Someone moved it. It's an illusion.
We should get a sign. Let's get a sign. Put a sign up here.
Put some cones up
or
something.
Check your shoe, too. Like, oh, man.
And well, I did check my shoes. I when I got up, I was like walking. I'm like, I realized how slippery they were on the floors. I'm like, I need to get different shoes next time I come down. I got to get combat boots when I come to Springfield. That's what I'm going to do next. And there are women who walk around in these like really high heels. I don't understand. I was wearing my riding boots. I thought for sure I was safe. I was not.
That sounds awesome though, because then you click clack all over the marble floor. I love that noise.
Yeah, it's very
part of the shoe.
It's a very powerful. You should come to Springfield. There's something very.
I'll just click clack all over.
Wait,
them.
So
just click clack.
That noise, though, it's a little bit intimidating when someone is behind you for let's say more than 2 or 3 minutes, and they're making that noise the whole time.
Yeah.
I get really antsy. I want them to either pass me or
right, and they always they always look behind, and you're like, "Yep, I'm walking here."
Do you ever hear someone bearing down on you, and you just can't take it anymore? You drop down and start tying your shoelace.
All
like,
the
I'm
time.
Just gonna drop out of this.
I just stare up into the sky. Like I, for some reason, I just got really distracted by something above.
You should just stop, and then they run into you.
There you go. That'll teach them a lesson.
I'm really bad about revenge with walking and things.
Esmeralda sounds mean on the street.
Watch out!
I know I am. Escalators, Esmeralda. Stand on the right.
Oh,
pass
you can't
on the
even
left.
If there's no stairs. I get even madder because I'm like, this is the only way I can get up or down this thing. Please move. Please start walking.
It's not a ride, people. It's sort of an escalated. Well, that's what I think.
Is it wrong that I'm seeing a video with you both doing walking etiquette tips for people outside the street?
Let's do that.
Yes.
I would just yell though. Yeah. And be like, move.
Do you want me to, I'll be the example pedestrian because I know all the things that annoy me and I would react the same way you do. So I'll do all the stuff like stopping in the middle of the sidewalk just for out of the blue.
Can we air it on all trains coming into the city?
Yep.
On flights like just before they land, just a few pointers on walking in the downtown area.
Yeah.
And in the airport, the moving
O'Hare.
Sidewalk. Same thing as the escalator.
I think you guys should be the walking police. You should just both go out and tell people who are making mistakes what they're doing wrong.
Yes, please. I would love to do that. I'll just hang out in the CTA.
I think that would be enjoyable.
I can't wait. Can we get you guys police outfits, like walking police outfits and stuff?
Ooh, that would be cute. I'd be swinging the whistle. Like, move along, folks.
I'd have a baton. I don't know what you're talking about. Billy Club.
Well, I'm already yelling, so I'm
just... We can go to the news. We can do the news.
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, broadcasting live from Springfield. I am in our capital and came down here to listen to the State of the State address. And I've listened to I generally want to know what our governor has to say. I always listen to the State of the Union from our president. Tomorrow night, I guess later on tonight, is the Republican primary debate on Fox. And I guess there's still a possibility that Trump might appear at the debate. Do we know if there's been any updates on whether or not he's sticking to the Megyn Kelly's mean or something?
Still a no.
Still a no. I was watching the what's the Jon Stewart show called now? Oh, The Daily Show. I don't know what. It's the other guy that does Jon Stewart's show now. Trevor Noah. He was saying, like, what a brilliant way to get attention. I mean, you know, otherwise it's just another debate and Trump does whatever. But this way, I mean, like, that is really kind of brilliant showmanship to be like, I'm not going. I don't know if he does it that way.
Yeah.
But...
No, I think that's exactly how he does it.
Yeah. I still want to know if we have any listeners, because I was talking to someone today about they have relatives. I don't know why I sound so surprised, because he does have support. So whenever someone tells me that their friend or someone in their family is a big fan of Trump's, I'm like, really? So I don't mean to sound so dismissive. I genuinely am surprised that people continue to support Donald Trump. And I'm wondering, is there something you could say to convince me, or at least state your case that this is why he's a good candidate? 312-981-7200. I just wanted to see if there's anybody out there with a Trumpinion. And I just want to know, and without being angry, if you can, if you have to be angry, we'll take that too. But I'm genuinely curious why Donald Trump is your guy. Because to be honest with you, I don't have a guy. Maybe you can convince me. I don't know. I don't got a guy or a gal.
If I was trying to like guess for some people, it sounds like to me some people that I talk to, they don't have anyone else, and Trump is the best pick for them because they think that everyone else is a bad pick for some reason. Yeah.
And I wonder, too, because, you know, the governor of Illinois is a successful businessman who never held a public office until he was the governor of Illinois. I believe the same is true of the governor of Michigan. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say anything that's inaccurate. If I'm wrong, you can correct me. But that doesn't seem to be going very well in Michigan. No. Esmeralda, were you reporting that Flint does not want to pay for their water? They don't think that they should have to pay for their water that was not usable?
That's what the mayor is saying, that the public shouldn't have to.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I think that
when you're not using it because it's really bad.
Not only not using it, but getting sick from it, putting your children's lives, their entire lives at danger. I don't see how do you send somebody a bill for that? Hey, you know that thing that's killing you? Could you pay us for that? Not for nothing, but we're going to need you to pay up on that stuff that's toxic. And even when you go to a restaurant, you don't like your meal, you don't pay for it. That's a weird comparison because these are people's lives.
No, that's perfect. No,
no, it's not really.
Well, it's perfect in the sense that we shouldn't be demanding money for something that people don't want, and they definitely don't want this.
No, they really, really don't want that water. They didn't ask. We didn't ask for the lead in our water. Just want to say that.
Yeah, we didn't ask for these horrible toxic things. This is not. We didn't request that.
That is not okay. Yeah, now there's. Now apparently there's like a big competition among celebrities as to who's sending more water and donating more money. Who knew that? Well, you know, whatever happened. You know, when I donate something on GoFundMe or a Kickstarter, I've been trying to just do anonymous so I don't have to – well, partly I don't need people to know that I did, but I also don't need to feel like, was that enough? Was that too much? Do I send – you know, I just – anonymous. Just don't put my name on it.
You just want to help the cause. You don't have any sort of – publicity desire.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. Just like we said before the break, donate or don't donate, but don't donate and be a jerk about it.
Yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
That is what we're saying tonight. Don't be a jerk. Yeah. And show don't up on time for your job, usually.
Oh, you're fine, Craig. It happens. We've all been there.
We're getting more texts about that, too, so that's nice.
Oh, but are we really? Tell us about the text about being late.
They're just saying that we turned it into a funny bit, so that was good, and don't worry about it.
See? I'm telling you. That's why I opened it up for conversation. Uh-huh. I knew that people would say they've been in that situation. Uh-huh. And you've never done that before.
Nope,
and
never.
We all can imagine how terrified you were.
Yeah,
that
really
is
terrified.
Not a good really feeling afraid. At all. Yeah. Are we getting any phone calls for Trump supporters?
No.
Okay.
We got a text message from a Hillary supporter, 773.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. That's not really a Trump opinion, but
no, but they're letting us know who they are passionate about, which would be Hillary Clinton. I'm not that passionate about. I don't have anybody. I'm not a big fan of Bernie's. I'm not a huge fan of. My mom will be very sad to hear that I'm not a big fan of Hillary's. She's very supportive.
It seems like Bernie is capturing the young vote, like Obama did, though. It seems
like
a lot of people on social media that are in their millennial ages, like myself, are really into Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not. I think that I'm curious to see how the Planned Parenthood trial in Texas is going to pan out, because I know Carla Fiorini made a big to-do about it in one of the early debates, about the video that she saw and was very graphic about it, and really it actually boosted her approval rating afterwards. And it turns out now, because they were bringing a case against Planned Parenthood for illegal activity, and instead the judge is filing charges, or is they're going to prosecute the people that made the videos for falsifying documents. And it's a very strange story. This was something that Scott Stantis was very passionate about, had drawn some pieces for the Chicago Tribune it's not an easy topic. It is brutal. It is something that people feel very strongly about. But that doesn't mean that you can, you know, accuse people of doing something that they're not actually doing. So and be, you know, fraudulent about it, trying to trap them and then manipulate people's emotions.
Right.
You know, it's just, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but they're being prosecuted.
We got two text messages about this from the 815. Right now it feels like, we just got another text message, sorry. Right now it feels like you're voting for the best person to do the least damage to the country.
Yeah, well, that would not be Trump. I think that would be very damaging.
From the 314, I'm tired of politics in general, and that's why I'm voting for Trump.
Oh!
That's interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. From the 773, Bugs Bunny will win, people don't want to fold. Okay.
All right.
There's a lot of that one doesn't really
matter. That would be a weird write-in. Like, you know, would you, okay, if you did a write-in vote that you know your vote's not going to count, would you then, though, put, you know, the rest of the ballot actually be legit for actual
I think if I
cared
about the other stuff, I would write in Billy Crystal. I think he'd do a fine job.
Oh, Billy Crystal.
I like that Billy Crystal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'd do good stuff. And then I would, take the rest of the ballot seriously.
I don't know who I would write in. I don't have any. I have nobody I would even write in. Apparently, I don't
want
anyone to be president.
Anybody in the world to be president. You have no. There's nobody you can think of.
Anybody in the world. Who's the mayor? Who's the governor of Minnesota? He seems like he's doing a good job. He raised the minimum wage, and I believe he's doing it. I wonder if he's going to run in the next few years. I was wondering if Sheriff Tom Dart is planning to run for governor. Because he seems to be very vocal this week about the governor's policies and things.
Mark Dayton is who you want to be president.
Mark Dayton, yes. I believe the CEO of Target.
Yeah.
So there's a businessman that took over his state. Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Cool.
Yeah, their economy's improving. Governor Rauner did not mention – there you go. Governor Rauner did not mention Minnesota on his list of states that are doing well.
He did
which
not.
I thought was surprising. Yeah. No, he did not. That's because they're taxing the wealthy and raising the minimum wage. So that would be.
If you had to pick a celebrity to be president, do you know any offhand that you'd pick?
Oh, man.
I don't know if that's really an appropriate question.
I'm trying to think if
had to be president,
if we're gonna go with somebody who's like will say anything, how fun would Louis Black be as a president?
Yeah,
that would be good.
That would be great.
Yeah, I think I would.
I don't
for
think
Louis
he would do really well in negotiations though. Because
no, he would. Although he does giggle like a schoolboy when you make him laugh. So that's I know that's surprising. In private, he's a very kind-hearted man.
Oh, that doesn't seem true at all.
I know. He really is. He's one of the nicest people I know.
Oh, that's funny.
I do have a tough time getting him on the show. We text back and forth. He's like, I'd love to do your show. And then I'll tell him, hey, give me some good dates. And then I don't hear anything. He has said yes many times. He's busy. He's very, very
busy. He's going to run for president, hopefully.
Yeah, apparently he's running for president. Surprise.
Working that out.
Probably should have told
him
about that.
Trump, he's self-funded, owes no one, owes nothing. I like him for that.
Okay, for not being for being independently wealthy.
Yeah,
I don't know if a loose cannon, like a loose cannon doesn't see, I could see them running for office someplace and getting the experience. I don't think you want to start at president being a loose cannon.
Yeah.
That's
a good point. There's a lot of people that say they're not at all a politician. I don't know that president's the right spot, like you said, to start out, you know?
Yeah.
To get like a local office position first, maybe. Trump,
right. Something. Well, here's what I'll make some people's heads explode. I was thinking about this morning as I was awaiting the State of the State address, and people say this, right? That if he's been this successful as a businessman, he's accumulated all this wealth, and people hate him for that. You know, that seems like the guy who can get things done. I was wondering why those people seem to have a negative opinion of someone like, and believe me, I have my hesitations. I have my problems with the Speaker of the House, Michael Madigan, who has accumulated a tremendous amount of power. And I wonder why wealth is something that we hold up as what we, you know, somebody who's been that successful, that's cool. But Michael Madigan, who has built these relationships and has been able to kind of, you know, amass this amount of power, that's a bad thing. I'm just curious about that.
No, that makes sense. Maybe it's because it's universal. We all want money, so...
We all want money.
We look up to people who have it.
Who have money. Yeah. But people who are political animals, I guess, who can, I was just curious about that.
From the 262, Jeff Dunham would be a great choice.
Ooh. Can you imagine?
He's best at double talking.
Yeah, and can you imagine the State of the Union address would be the peanut on, what is it, pepper on a stick? It's a jalapeno on a stick. Does he still do the jalapeno on a stick? That
I
was
don't know.
I used to I work. I used to work with Jeff Dunham.
For
when
president.
I worked with him in the late 90s, was a little bit. He was drifting toward being a little bit bitter about being a club comic. So I'm very happy that he has reached the level of success because he's always been wildly talented. And he was, you know, it's one of those things where you just keep, you know, hammering it out in front of live audiences, you know, in front of clubs that have maybe 300 people. And now he's become one of the most successful comics in the world. So he really hung in there. You know, it's easy for comics to go like, you know, I feel like I've done everything I could. And he hung in there. And I think he's earning like $30 million a year now when he was probably making $8,000 at the time.
Wow.
You know, maybe $5,000. Yeah.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
I like that Jeff Dunham now. I'm
oh, yeah.
Board. Yeah.
There's a guy who's achieved wild success.
From the 815, more than half of Trump's funding comes from outside sources. So there's somebody already disagreeing with someone from earlier.
See?
And then another text from a different 815. Craig, why didn't your wife wake you up?
She was working,
also
I'm
asleep. No, she was also
Oh, yeah, Craig, what did she say when you woke up? Did you wake her up?
She cried. So if I'm going to be honest, she just started
crying. Oh, yeah. So Betty.
Was
really
sad. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
she's been texting
no,
me all
no.
night, do you think you're fired? And I'm like, I don't know.
No, 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 no. I mean, I'm not in charge of
something.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Betty, it happens.
Okay.
I think everyone knows that it happens. There's been I won't name any names, but there's been a host who overslept and never showed up and still works for the station. Mm-hmm. So
that did happen. We can take a break.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if anyone comes after you, I'll be like, hey, what about that one time? More after this on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time to talk about it.
You're listening pretty late, Craig. I'm going to go ahead and put a pin in it because I'm not going to make you dance when you've had a long night. It's been a very strange evening.
Actually,
we didn't get to a lot of...
for me.
I know, but it probably feels long.
It feels so long. Yeah, it feels terrible.
Adrenaline will make anything feel intense. Yeah. You know, we were talking to our boss earlier today about wisdom teeth. And Esmeralda, do you have your wisdom teeth?
No, but I just had two taken out because they grew back.
I'm sorry. What?
I had them taken out. Well, apparently they got missed. Oh. I had them taken out in high school. And then a couple years ago, they grew back.
Hold on
a second.
I
just had them pulled out. They were very tiny.
I'm checking to see if mine grew back.
Yeah.
I already checked that.
Yeah, they grew back and then they grew out. And before, they hadn't grown out. So I think they just missed them because they were pretty small.
Oh,
wow.
But yeah, my dad calls me a shark. So he's like, teeth grew back. It's like,
Wow, you are badass.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, mine were impacted. Mine were growing out sideways into my gums. Mm. The insides of my cheeks. So I had to have them removed when I was in college. And I did not have enough money for anesthesia. I had local.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
Did that hurt?
So I didn't have Twilight or anything. Did it hurt? It was surreal. No, yeah. it didn't really. I mean, it's, you know, it is, I would say, you know, it's on the same level as, you know, getting the drill. You know, it's uncomfortable and you kind of want to get away from it.
Yep.
It is like having, like china, like porcelain plates being smashed on the inside. Cause you can hear it all cracking. You can hear the bone cracking away from, you know, and it's long, like the root is really long and you'd pull it out and you'd see it like come out of your mouth. Then you put it on the tray right next to me, just in a bloody mess. It was weird. It was very weird.
This is not helping me feel any better. I have all four of mine and I have to get at least one taken out.
And do you think you're going to get the Twilight? Do you know if they'll give you?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm going to UIC to get all this stuff done, the dental school. So I don't know.
Are they going to? Did they tell you like how bad it is?
So one has a cavity. That's the whole reason they suggested I take it out, because it's hard to, I guess, fix those because they're so far back. And they said as long as they're back there, just take out all the other ones. Apparently that's the thing.
I don't like the as long as we're there attitude.
As long as we're back there doing one, why don't you just let us
know? Well, it's a thing of, because if they do start growing funky, they can ruin your jawline.
Oh.
Like, that's what I was told when I had them taken out.
I'm a 30-year-old guy now. Do they start growing differently now?
I mean, mine grew. I didn't know that I had extras until they came in. I was like, what?
True. If I grow more teeth, that would be weird.
Yeah, that would be surreal. Although maybe you and Esmeralda could have, you know, your regrown teeth sort of displayed somewhere.
By the way,
WGN,
I keep them.
Crew.
I still have them in my purse. They gave me a little plastic treasure chest.
Oh, wow. Patty, she doesn't just keep them. She keeps them on her.
And in her purse.
Yeah, they're in my purse.
Is that like in case someone tries to mug you, you're like, here! And you throw your teeth at. You know, like some people have an extra pair of keys so that they...
They're very tiny. I couldn't do any damage.
That would make a mugger turn away, though, I think, if you just handed them your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be like, okay, I don't want to rob this person anymore.
Yeah, I give up. This is all I got, man. My teeth.
Yeah, she's crazy. She pulled her own teeth out and carries them around with her.
Throwing teeth at me. This is not good.
Oof. Yeah. I love that the new CEO of the Chicago Public Schools is demanding that former CEO Barbara Bird Bennett, who has been indicted for you know, kickbacks for the you know, academies that she was once employed by, they want her to pay back triple the damages for $893,000 that she was paid. So pay that back.
Yeah.
It would amount to about, three times her 10% kickback on the $23 million contracts would amount to about $7 million. That's fantastic.
Come on. Cut a check.
Who thinks that's going to happen? Nobody. Probably
crime does not pay.
It does not.
No. Neither do criminals. They rarely ever pay up.
I'm going to go over there and just go, hey.
She is such a terrible person.
Seriously.
It really is is just awful. Let's see, what other story? Oh, we didn't get to the large dose. Speaking of a lot of money, the large donation to the Art Institute. Somebody just handed over $35 million. Mm-hmm. Who has that laying around?
I don't know. That has.
Do you think they have a chief of staff? Huh?
You want a job?
I do. I'm just trying to see.
Yeah, no, we'll work that out.
All right, then.
That has to be awesome for them, that they all of a sudden get a check for $35 million extra dollars that they weren't expecting. In January, too, when you're doing budgets.
Yeah. You know? Massachusetts collector Dorothy Broad Eidenberg, who died last year, donated the money in her will, and she earmarked it for new art purchases. So apparently she gave the money, but she also says, when you do take my money, you must buy these paintings.
Well, that's cool.
That's impressive.
Yeah,
I don't know. So when I hand over $100, it's hard for me to let go. I'm like, here you go. No, really, take this.
What do you think that like her the people that were looking to inherit something from her?
I don't know. How much more did she have left?
I don't know. That's interesting. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier about Donald Trump. You know whether or not bad publicity is a good thing or a bad thing, or is there any such thing as bad publicity? I guess there are people who respond to it. You know, you keep your name in the news.
Right. Well, I think especially now with the internet and how everyone can kind of connect with each other on Facebook or however, it seems like some publicity can be very bad for people very quickly.
Yeah.
Like the internet as a whole can turn on someone.
Yeah, you would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because the fallout for the things that Trump has said hasn't had an impact on his campaign at all.
No.
If anything, it's only grown.
Right. But maybe his business adventures won't be as easy now.
I just kept thinking that, you know, the time of our, you know, in our country where saying really ugly things drew all these followers was kind of coming to a, you know, like Limbaugh, right? He was starting to, you know, his numbers are dwindling. A lot of sponsors were starting to pull out because of the things that he was saying. I thought, okay, people are coming to their senses. They don't want to hear nasty attacks and someone yelling and banging the counter and spewing out all this stuff. But Donald Trump comes along and runs for the president of the United States and people are like, that guy.
We love this guy, yeah. It's really scary.
Very, very strange.
By the way, we got a text message from Catherine saying that she loves hearing Esmeralda every single week. She's growing more awesome all the time.
She's growing more awesome.
Yeah, with my
all the
teeth.
Yeah.
I'm growing teeth. That's how awesome.
With those extra teeth. Oh, you know, whenever there's somebody who fakes an illness in order to raise money, that's the problem with, you know, when we give money to a homeless person and we question whether or not, you know, they actually need it. It's women like this 29-year-old who faked cancer and used the money to travel. She's ruining it for people. See,
you're right.
It makes it hard to trust.
Yeah, that is rough. She faked cancer and took everybody's money. That is.
Oh my. $25,000 in donations, trips, and gifts. She faked stage 4 ovarian cancer. Oh, man. Yeah. She even received a trip to Houston, Atlanta Braves tickets, a hunting. Who asks for a hunting trip when they're
I don't know.
Stage 4 cancer?
Right.
And was anybody checking up on her?
Yeah. Yeah, there's that, too. Like, anyone who kind of lies and says that they're terminal. Isn't there eventually an amount of time where their friends who gave them money start to think, wait, you still seem okay?
You see, you're not. Yeah.
Well, and also just, you know, you have to go to the doctor. You have to do all these things,
right.
You know, with it. Like, did no one notice she wasn't doing any of that?
She would have people take her to the hospital, but would not let them come to the hospital with her. So she'd be like, no, just drop me off at the door. No, you don't have to, and, you know, apparently go in the front door and out the back door.
Wow.
Do you think that she would have someone drop her off at the front door and then have someone pick her up at the back door? So just walk through the first floor of the hospital. That's a lot of
points. Yeah. Would she stay for a while? Would she wait for an hour for someone to pick her up?
Right. She's in the lobby updating her Facebook status. Yeah. You know? Is she posting selfies like next to other people who are sick so it seems like she's around?
Oh,
other,
sweet God. This person is terrible. Mm-hmm. Don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk.
Come on.
See, I like the real title of it.
Yeah, the real title's better.
I know. Don't be a jerk. Just waters it down. Yeah. That's all right.
Yeah.
Now we're letting people imagine even worse things than what we might be saying. Yeah. They could be terrible.